ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. So glad you're all here with us. Infowars.com, band.video. Please do follow us on X and make sure you're following us. I got a message today from somebody on X saying, I've had to follow you three times. Every time I follow you, I go to your profile to realize I'm no longer following you. And so make sure that doesn't happen to you, folks. There's still shenanigans going on behind the scenes, no matter how free X is now compared to the old iteration of Twitter. Make sure you're following us at Real Alex Jones, at Harrison H. Smith, at War Room Show, InfoWars, and AJN Live. At AJN Live. Make sure you're keeping up with us no matter what happens with InfoWars. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today in politics mostly, but some other stuff as well. We'll be joined by Sam Parker a little bit later. I figured we'd continue the trend Alex Jones had on Elijah Schaefer today, talking about being sued by Kash Patel's girlfriend because he insinuated she's an Israeli honeypot operation. Well, he's not the only one who's been sued. Other people have been sued as well. Sam Parker is one of them, so he's going to come on and tell us his view of the situation, as I agree with, if you're watching, Alex and Elijah. Clearly, this is, well, almost certainly orchestrated by Israel, but absolutely an attack on free speech and a warning shot across the bow to anybody else who would dare suggest that Kash Patel's girlfriend may be an Israeli honeypot. Of course, I would never insinuate such a thing. All I said was that she's a spokesperson for PragerU, and the head of PragerU is an avowed Israeli spy from Unit 8200, okay? Now, draw whatever conclusions you want from that. Like I said, we got a lot to get into, but let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. Derek is running. He's running to the back. All right, somebody was there to hit the button. Thank goodness. That was almost incredibly embarrassing. Here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Thursday, the 13th of November, 2025. State Department designates four European Antifa-linked groups as terrorists. Former FBI agent Nicole Parker criticized the unequal treatment of conservative speakers on UC Berkeley campus after a recent brawl that occurred outside of a Turning Point USA event on America Reports, where she announced the State Department will designate four Antifa-linked groups operating in Europe as foreign terrorist organizations and specifically designated global terror threats, putting them along the likes of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah. This, according to Fox News Digital, this is very good news. Of course, we've been talking about this for the last couple of days, pointing out that perhaps one of the reasons that Antifa has not been moved on with the alacrity that they should be is that they were declared a domestic terrorist organization rather than an international one. An international terrorist organization gets a lot more resources towards it. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman has been hospitalized after a fall, but is doing well, according to a spokesperson. Upon evaluation, it was established that he had a ventricular fibrillation flare-up that led to Senator Fetterman feeling lightheaded, falling to the ground, and hitting his face with minor injuries. Of course, Fetterman, like a lot of people on our side, grown to appreciate his willingness to be independent and to break from his party when logic and consistency and common sense calls for it. So I pray he's doing better. And of course, the left is not praying for him to do better because they're psychos. Meanwhile, Verizon to cut 15,000 jobs in America. Verizon Communication plans to eliminate roughly 15,000 positions as part of a major cost-cutting effort amid intensifying competition in wireless and home internet. According to people briefed on the strategy, according to the Wall Street Journal, the reductions expected to roll out over the coming week would mark the largest workforce cutback in the company's history. Most of the shrinkage will come through direct layoffs, the people said. And if you're wondering, yes, they do use H-1B visas at Verizon. I double-checked. Meanwhile, Trump signs bill ending longest government shutdown ever. The nightmare is over, folks. We can finally sleep easy knowing that our hard-earned money is being taken from us and given to people who don't deserve it. Finally, we have this. Israel seeking 20-year America-first security agreement with the U.S. because I guess robbing us every year is getting inconvenient. They just want maybe one lump sum to carry them over, or maybe, you know, establish direct scheduled payments. That way, you know, we don't have to talk about it. The American people are less aware of it, so there's less outrage about it. It's a great plan if you want to rob us. It's great. It's a great plan. It's a great plan to rob us. We'll be right back. In the meantime, I do want to remind you, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. You get a free hat with any purchase. Shilajit is buy one, get one free. Those are the Shilajit gummies, one of my favorite products. I always take the Shilajit gummies. I always take the Irish Sea Moss gummies. They are jam-packed with naturally occurring vitamins and minerals that your body needs and God gives us through these crazy elements. Shilajit and Irish Sea Moss. Who thought that they would be superfoods that you need? Get them today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon from the legendary InfoWars studios here in the heart of the Empire, Austin, Texas. We got a lot to talk about today. And let's see. We'll get to the Israel stuff. All right. Well, we won't start with that today. We won't. But we'll get to it. We certainly will get to it. So I want to talk, and it's not even about Israel. It's about Tucker Carlson. And it's about how Tucker Carlson is just me 6 months ago. It's uncanny, to be honest with you. He came out with an episode today talking about Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. I'll show you clips from it. And it's about Israel. And he starts it off by saying, everybody wakes up going, oh God, are we still doing this? And it's like, oh yeah. Oh, we're doing it. All right. We're doing it forever. I think we'll do it forever. But in it, he's talking about all these things that if you're a regular viewer of the War Room or American Journal before this, it's just exactly what I've been saying for a year. So it's wonderful to see. But if you're a fan of Tucker Carlson, I suggest you watch The War Room because it's Tucker Carlson a year in advance or so. 6 months, we'll see. I've got some clips to show you. But we'll get to that. We will get to that. There's a bunch of other stuff going on that we got to get to. This is one that I think should be illustrative, perhaps a symbol, an emblem, a lesson to be learned from Breitbart.com. Record number of young women want to flee America. They want to flee America. They want to seek asylum away from America. Gallup reports that 40% of affluent white female liberals, awfuls they're called, women aged 15 to 44 would like to flee America permanently. This is four times higher than the 10% of awfuls, AWFLs, women who said the same in 2014. Back in 2014, the fact that 10% of these women wanted out of America was not an outlier, but the rest of the population, with the rest of the population or other demographics, hell, if you ask me on the right day, like right after I've watched La Dolce Vita for the 100th time, I'll tell you I want to move to Rome. But 40% of young women dream of life elsewhere. Like, there's so many psychological aspects to this that I think are worth delving into. For one thing, young women are the most likely out of any demographic to vote liberal, to vote socialist, to be far left. We've seen the charts. This is always the case because of the natural inclinations of women versus men to be more caring, more understanding, more generous in a lot of ways, which is a wonderful thing and a good thing. When you're with babies, okay, when you're with babies and little children, it's a wonderful thing to be kind and giving and merciful and generous and patient with them. But when that same instinct is applied to murderous criminals or decisions about war, it becomes a terrifying thing. It becomes not a benefit whatsoever, but rather an existential problem. So that causes young women in particular to vote for the left. And yet, as the left takes power, as the leftist policies are put into place, all of the things that women hate become more and more prevalent. You know, like being raped. You know, things like strange foreign men grabbing you off of the street and chaining you to a radiator and letting all of their friends have a turn. That type of stuff tends to increase the more socialist policies get enacted. So there's this sort of odd cycle that we've entered into where the young women, for the most part, vote for socialist policies that make them miserable and less safe, and then they want to flee. You could just not vote for those. You could just not vote for those things, and then wouldn't that be better? Here's an idea. Don't bring in the people who say they want to close down Rikers and let all of the prisoners out. Okay? Is this complicated? But that's not the only thing, right? It's the fact that where do they think is better? What do they think is better? Where do they think they're going to go? Like, it's actually childish is what it is. It's childish. It's like this guy says, hell, if you ask me on the right day, like right after I've watched La Dolce Vita for the 100th time, I'll tell you I want to move to Rome. It's like, well, yeah. Okay, if I could live in a movie, okay, yeah, I would choose that too. Wouldn't be La Dolce Vita. Not sure what it would be, but it would be violent. Probably be Lord of the Rings. So, like, yeah, if I watch Lord of the Rings, I might go, you know, maybe I'll move to Middle Earth, but that's a childish fantasy. It's because the movie presents the location in a fantastically wonderful way. So, you know that doesn't exist. You don't actually yearn for that. You might yearn for it, you might want it, but you don't actually make plans to move to Rome because, spoiler alert, smells like piss. A lot of Rome smells like urine. I'm sorry to tell you this. Full of Africans as well. So maybe not the, beautiful city of the world that it was in 1960 when the film was made. The point is that, like, a lot of these young women are literally in a fantasy world where, like, the fantasy is double-sided. The fantasy is that America is evil and bad and difficult to live in. That's a fantasy. The fantasy of oppression. The fantasy of discrimination, the fantasy of the patriarchy, right? They're being oppressed by invisible binds. They're being jailed by bars that don't exist. That's one side of the fantasy. The other side of the fantasy is that other places are better somehow. And so what it represents is not a genuine dissatisfaction with America, but a lack of maturity and understanding about the world around them. So it's somewhat troublesome in my interpretation. And, you know, I've got some videos if we want to sort of show some of this stuff. I've got some videos to illustrate the consequences of the choices that people make when they vote for the likes of Mamdani. They're not fun consequences. They're not good things that you want to see. They're actually genuinely, like, harrowing and horrifying and not easy to watch. But we're going to show them to you so you can learn. We're going to show them to you so we can all understand together exactly what it's like when the more beneficent and giving and trusting side of our nature wins out over the skeptical, the protectionist, and the unmerciful instincts. Not that it's a bad thing. Like, it's weird. You can have different standards for different situations. I feel like this should be obvious, but, you know, when you're making a decision about your family or your neighborhood or your friends, you have one level of consideration that you give to them. You have a level of what you're willing to put forward versus what you're expecting in return. But then when you're making that decision on behalf of a nation, you have to have different priorities. It's like, this is so obvious, but people actually don't understand this. They actually have a lot of trouble breaking through the mental barrier and understanding, yes, it would be very mean for you as an individual to, like, see a starving person and you have food and you just keep it for yourself. No, right? You're not even hungry, but you're just like, no. It's my food. It's not yours. I'm keeping it. That would be, like, if you saw somebody do that, you'd be like, what the hell's wrong with you, dude? The man is starving. Give him some bread. What is wrong with you? But then when you're talking about a nation that is spending billions and billions of dollars to feed people around the world who aren't us and don't like us and don't give us anything for the stuff. And our people are having their lives made worse, and generation after generation is seeing their life degrade in quality. And at least part of that is because the decision has been made to give away our surplus and give away our prosperity to those who didn't earn it and didn't build it and aren't working for it. Then really you're engaged in a suicidal form of empathy. But to a lot of young people out there, a lot of women and a lot of weak men, it feels the same as withholding food from a starving person. But these are different situations with different considerations, different consequences. They're not the same. But people really have trouble getting over that emotional hook of, but the person is sad. But the person is sad. Don't you want to do whatever they ask of you? It's like, not if it means my country is destroyed. What? No. But people have trouble breaking through that. Which is fine if they didn't vote. Like, you can have that opinion, but you should also have the humility to say, but that's why I'm not in charge, because I could make those decisions. Those are hard decisions. And thank goodness we've got strong men at the top to make those decisions for us, make those hard choices, because I'm too soft-hearted myself. But they don't realize that. People don't think that way. They think you're mean for prioritizing the thing that you're in charge of. It's absurd, but this is all tied in together here. It's all part of the same phenomenon, series of phenomena that we're seeing, chain of action we're seeing unfold. Now, I thought I had a video, maybe the, okay, here it is. We can go first. I put two videos in here. Actually, you know what? I've got another one from today, and this one was very funny, and there was a funny comment about it that I'll find and play. But this is the type of stuff, clip number two, that you might find you need should you, as a young woman, find that the government does what you want them to. Is if you, as a young white woman, in all likelihood, vote for the socialists, vote for the open borders, you might find you get exactly what you want, and then you might need underwear that stops people from raping you. Let's watch. Locks it. So there you go. Modern chastity belts. What do you know? Modern chastity belts. Isn't that something? Yeah, you just, you know, invite in enough people of a certain persuasion, and suddenly, maybe that's what it was all about at the end of the day. Maybe this was all, maybe all of immigration is just a giant scheme by the modern chastity belt industry. Maybe we've clicked it together here. Kind of weird, right? Isn't that kind of weird that they would start advertising this? For our radio listeners, it is literally a modern chastity belt. It's underwear that locks so that people can't rape you. So you could just vote, or you could just vote for the right. or here's another idea. You could not bring in millions upon millions of rapists to your shores and then cover up their actions with the police and demonize the opposition by calling them racist. Or you could buy the blocking underwear. I guess the choice is yours. It's also something I never realized about chastity belts. I thought they were always fake. I didn't think they were like a real thing. I thought they were like a meme. You know, like a blood libel, like a smear made up. Where it's like, did you know in the Middle Ages they would lock women's undergarments? That's ridiculous. But no, it wasn't about the woman. It was about like, when women would be sent on like sea voyages and they'd be the only woman on a ship of sailors, they'd lock them down for their own protection. Interesting history tidbit there for you. Doesn't have much to do with anything else, but this is the consequence. Now that was the funny side of the consequence. Kind of the silly side. If you'd like, we can go to the not silly side. We can go to, y'all pulling these videos. I just dropped them in Amsterdam, another one in New York City. Another one in Barcelona. We'll go to these in just a second. But somebody, you know, was saying about this exact thing. just like how did this happen? How have we gotten to this point that they are reinventing modern chastity belts to stop women from being? It's like the fact that women in Europe now have pet pigs. They walk around with pet pigs because they scare off Muslims that way. Does the crew not believe me? Wait, did I just hear the crew cast doubt in my direction? You fools. See, this is, we've actually already been through this. There's actually a video. I believe it's on InfoWars. It's on X. In fact, it was on my Twitter because I tweeted out with the label, my producer didn't believe me about the lengths women in Europe will go to avoid being raped by Muslims. And this exact same thing happened where I said, British or, you know, European women have pet pigs to scare off Muslim men. And they doubt me. And these people doubt me. It's true. What am I supposed to say? And then my idea was, yeah, there's one. Vietnamese pot-bellied pig right there. Isn't that funny? There should be like a, you know, it's like a scene when a guy's like breaking in a house and he hears a dog bark and he's like, oh crap. It's like that, but it's a Muslim and he hears an oink. He's like, whoa! Dives out the window. I was saying, here's what you do. Bacon-based makeup. You render pork products into makeup and skincare products for women in Europe. How about that? How's that for an idea? I got lots of them. Yeah, no, it's they're going to extraordinary circumstances. And again, it's funny to laugh about the chastity belt thing. But would you like to see New York City? Would you like to see New York City and a young woman getting exactly what she voted for? Let's watch the subway scene, shall we?
Violate a lady! Why'd you do that again?
Now, notice here, and we can bring the audio down a little bit. I don't even want to make fun of this woman. Like, she actually stands up for, like, she, like, isn't backing down, and, like, she's obviously a tough broad. Good for her. You know, notice a fit-looking young white man right there, probably easily capable of dealing with the issue. In fact, I can tell his adrenal system is firing on all cylinders right now as every instinct in his body is telling him to fight this guy as the blood rushes to his extremities and the, you know, it starts getting thicker as the stress hormones kick in. But you've taught him his lesson, haven't you? Haven't you, America? You've taught him exactly what he should do when he sees a young woman on the subway being threatened and menaced by a much larger, very dangerous looking man. He's supposed to sit there quietly and let it happen. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's doing exactly what he has been told to do. What has been reinforced in him is the right thing to do over and over and over again. So yeah, that sucks for that woman. That looked like literally a harrowing experience. How much more do you think that's going to happen when free bail gets extended, when the prison gets shut down, when you have a mayor now who thinks that violence itself is a social construct that doesn't actually exist in reality? And so now you want to leave America? Well, thanks for the parting gift, I guess. Of course, we're getting to know what's going on here in America. In Europe, they're learning it much better than us. Here's a scene in Barcelona, Spain, four young women out for a night on the town. When some of the liberal pets come a-calling, let's watch. Again, like, oh my God, I think I just want to go live in Spain. I'm just sick of being in America where there's this patriarchy. I just want to go live somewhere else, like Spain. Women just, like, assaulted by multiple different groups of men. One group of men assaults them, grabs their purse, runs off. The next group of men, they're like looking to, like, will you protect us? And they're like, nope. I think I just want to live in Spain. I'm thinking Barcelona. I think Barcelona looks lovely this time of year. I just want to get away from America where all this toxic masculinity is everywhere. Cut to your head smashed into the pavement. I mean, it's just like, do you realize, like, this isn't a playground? This isn't a preschool. You are not dealing with children. You just have to be shown a little bit of love and care and shown how to do the right thing. You're dealing with human beings, a lot of whom are motivated by pure, unrepentant evil. So when you make decisions about who to vote for, probably keep that in mind, okay? Should we go to, do you want to go to more? It's not just women. It's Christians too. And Christians have this same problem. Our religion teaches us to turn the other cheek and to show mercy. But only to a certain extent, I'd have to say. I'm happy to turn my cheek. I'm not about to let you hit my daughter's cheek, right? I actually have a duty to protect her and the other people around me from evildoers, even if that means I have to do some brutal things myself. But don't worry, folks. If you think Christianity is weak, if you think Christianity is, you know, behind a lot of the mercy that we show our enemies, and it could well be, but don't worry, that type of Christianity is going away, and the Muslims are making sure of it. Let's go to what happened in Amsterdam here, where a female Christian preacher had the temerity to dare to try to instruct one of Allah's soldiers. Let's watch. Yo, there she is preaching. There she is being asked politely by the young man. Ma'am, I disagree with your ideas. Touche, have you considered this? So, that's a woman preacher being literally slammed to the pavement by her hair because she dared to address her proselytizing to a Muslim man. And luckily, a few people did stand up to her. So again, I'm not even being facetious about this stuff. Like, this is all very real and intense and horrifying. But it's also just so frustrating. I can't, like, address this within, as if, like, any of this needed to be said and needed, like, I needed to tell you this. Like, really, we need people to understand. Not only is America and Western Europe as a whole the greatest place for women ever. Ever in the history of the world, it's America and it's Western Europe in the modern age is the greatest place to be a woman of all time. Because we're Christian, okay? Because we respect women. Like, so many false dichotomies exist out there, and there's a false dichotomy that's promoted where it's like Muslims and it's a woman in a trash bag, and liberalism and it's pornography or a woman in a skimpy bikini. And it's like, this is another false dichotomy that's prevented. It's not like brutal, repressive, organized religion crushing your human nature versus total lasciviousness, libertinism, you know, scandalous behavior. What about Americanism? What about that third way? What about, you know, pretty happy women in nice dresses running a business or raising their kids? Yeah, we nailed this. We already nailed it, folks. And now we're being ripped apart by these two dichotomous poles that have no relation to the historic character of our entire civilization. So let's reclaim the character of that civilization, which is strong, good men using their force, using their power, using their might to protect the innocent and defend against the invaders and the abusers. Can we do that? Can we get back to just like normal?
You know, today is the one-year anniversary of the fake auction they had last year. The judge ordered an auction. We had groups to buy that would keep us on air. We later sued them. I got the internal emails. The U.S. trustee of the Justice Department then intervened in my bankruptcy where they're talking to the Democrat Party plaintiffs. So they said, we're not going to ever let him stay on air. We're just going to cancel the auction and you'll basically give it to you. But tell the judge and the world it was an auction. Remember all that? That auction was today, a year ago. How embarrassing for them. And a lot more has obviously come out, and a lot more is.
The satirical website and newspaper, The Onion, has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable until further notice. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world where hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is.
And there is an investigation of that going on. I'll just stop there. They already know. They've been visited. But they don't care. They just go forward. And I said, you cancel the auction. This isn't a real auction. I'm going to go challenge it. And the judge wasn't corrupt and blocked them. So just remember what we've all been through and all the other stuff.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
We are listener supported by you. And I'm obviously only going to sell you stuff that really has a great effect. You buy the Patriot t-shirts with the widest selection, some of the best designs, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, great designs, great messages, wake people up, meet like-minded people. Discover what it's like to be Alex Jones or Donald Trump. It's a total adventure to wear. But the supplements is where I can really deliver to you. The ultramethylene blue, 99.9% of people feel it within 30 minutes. But its real effects are long-term. Cleans out your cells, energizes your body, over-the-top energy with no letdown. The highest quality, highest-rated bovine colostrum. If you don't know about bovine colostrum, please research it. Then know we have the best. 2,000 milligram per scoop. But the Shilajit, and Shilajit is amazing, but not all Shilajit is equal. No, it would take an hour to get into that. Research Shilajit and know we have the best. It has all these natural peptides that boost testosterone in men, make your skin glow, stamina, libido, clarity. It goes on and on. And so the new flash sale for 48 hours is Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free, and a free hat. Murdered out, limited edition, InfoWars, ball cap, black on black. And this is the last day for the free hat. We're going to extend until tomorrow. Buy one, get one free for the Shilajit gummies. But today is the last day, this Thursday, November 13th, 2025, to get the free ball cap on top of it. That is an amazing deal. I want to thank all of you that have supported. I want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence and haven't done it. Now is the time to take action and experience how great these products are. The Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, the Ultramethylene Blue. It's all there at thealexjonesshow.com, which I don't own. That's our sponsor, Bigly. It's financing and owns the new Alex Jones Network backup system. Everything else that's happening. So it's not just critical for your health and your longevity and to experience these great products, which you need to believe me and try them. They really work. It's beyond critical in keeping this transmission on the air, which the globalists dream about getting off the air. So thank you all for your past support. I want to thank those that have taken action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Remember, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, your one-stop shop for everything you need to be healthy and patriotic as we move in to the winter season. Make sure you're stocked up on Shilajit gummies. They are right now, buy one, get one free. Mine says the Shilajit. Is it methylene blue? Methylene blue is buy one, get one free on thealexjonesstore.com. You can also get a free InfoWars hat with any is that still going on, guys? I need clarification. It was supposed to end. I was told it was supposed to end, and yet they've extended it. This is frankly irresponsible of us. The sales are too good. We can't last like this. So I've got the information here. Shilajit gummies, buy one, get one free. Plus you get a free hat with the purchase of those Shilajit gummies. This sale ends tonight, Thursday, November 13th. Buy any bottle of the Shilajit gummies, get another bottle free, plus that InfoWars hat in every order. It is your last day to get the free hat. And, of course, Shilajit gummies, if you don't know, when you describe Shilajit, it sounds like you're describing something out of a fantasy novel. Shilajit is this substance that spontaneously emerges at the top of mountains. It's crazy. Literally. It's almost like a tar-like substance. and it emerges from the ground at the top of the Altai Mountains. And like 10,000 years ago, the locals of this mountain noticed that the monkeys in the area would eat this stuff that emerged out of the ground. And so they started eating it. So it became this very, you know, little known but extremely powerful naturally occurring superfood that only occurs at the top of mountain peaks, like the Himalayas and the Altai Mountains. Same as Irish sea moss. It's just for some reason in this one area of the ocean, the sea moss that it produces has all of these incredible effects. And again, in a time of, you know, desperation during the Irish famine, people out of necessity started eating the sea moss and realizing, hey, this is a superfood. This is everything we need and more. It's got iodine, all this other great stuff. So like really all we do is we take these near miraculous nutritional substances, sea moss and shilajit, and we refine them. Because that's the thing about shilajit is that when it comes out of the mountain, it naturally occurring can have some heavy metals and stuff. And so we put it through a very, very rigorous top of the line, as hardcore as you can get filtration process. So if you buy cheaper shilajit from other people, you can't guarantee that they're free of heavy metals. Ours is absolutely free of heavy metals, absolutely free of contaminants, sourced from the greatest sources, packaged in a very delicious gummy form, and sold to you at half off, or buy one, get one free. Right? Tomato, tomato. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Buy one, get one free for the shilajit gummies, this miraculous miracle substance that monkeys taught us about, and that we refine to perfection and package in a delicious snack. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, like I said, I got a lot of stuff to cover this half hour, and then the next hour I'll be joined by Sam Parker, and we'll talk about how he and others like Elijah Schaefer are being sued by the girlfriend of Kash Patel, who's definitely not an Israeli agent, okay? It's to even say that, it's so untrue it should be illegal, okay, to make such outrageous claims. Frankly, I'm insulted on behalf of Israel. Like they would ever do anything so untoward and underhanded to their greatest allies at that. Anyway, should we talk about the Epstein files? Because we still have we have more information about the Epstein files we can get to. But I want to get to some more political stuff because obviously the lawsuit does have to do with Israel. I got a lot of Israel topics, but I'll save those for Sam Parker. And then after that, and hopefully I'll be able to get through enough stuff to take your calls in the third hour. But John Fetterman has been a very, very interesting character in American politics. And I, like many people, have had to eat a little bit crow about him. But, you know, recently he discovered, realized it finally became impossible to ignore the real differences between right-wingers and left-wingers. John Fetterman has come out saying, yeah, the left-wing is way worse than the right-wing. They're vicious, they're bitter, they're angry, they're merciless. Now, he's learning this. But there's another distinct difference, which is not for everybody, but for some of us, principled people on the right, we have the ability to change our minds. Quote Winston Churchill, I'd rather be correct than consistent. And frankly, John Fetterman has changed. And he's changed a lot of his positions. And I used to make fun of him for looking like an ogre and possibly being retarded. But I take that back. I take all of that back and I apologize. Because clearly, he's shown himself willing to break with the majority, willing to stand up against his own party when necessary, and able to, you know, look at policies and situations and decisions being made by the U.S. government and actually coming to the correct answer and then saying it regardless of what his party line is or, you know, what might benefit him in the short run. So I've grown to respect John Fetterman. I do wish he would put clothes on. I do think it is a sign of disrespect to the office to be walking around like a schlub all the time, but hey, I'll take an honest slob over a well put together demon any day of the week. So, I genuinely wish him the best. Hopes he recovers. And it's just another instance where it's like, I read about this And genuinely, my first thought, just as it would be with really anybody, period, but you know, anybody in the Democrats or whatever, you hear like hospitalized after a fall, and it's like, oh no. You know, it's like your first response should be like, oh God, I hope he's all right. Like just naturally, just instinctually, that's what should come out of your mouth. That's what should fill your heart. And it's kind of disturbing to know that like that's not the case for like half our country. Even people that are on his team, on his side, that are Democrats or, you know, more aligned with him politically. And it's not like they hate him personally because he's not with them aligned 100% every single time. He is the enemy and he deserves to die. That is their mindset. And when they hear that he fell and is hospitalized, they're giddy, they're gleeful. They actually like hearing that he's hurt. I feel like emphasizing that because it's like, do you know, imagine being like that. Imagine being one of these people. Like, if you're not one of these people, you should be glad you're not one of these people. Because it must be gross. It must be like gross and weird to have your first instinct be like joy when you hear somebody's hurt. But that is, you know, largely instinct. And again, it's not that they don't like him personally. They probably don't know anything about him personally. They probably don't know what his positions really are or why he has broken with the Democratic Party. But he is in a beef with the Democratic Socialist, and their followers are mindless zombies who will hate whoever they're told to hate. And again, you have to understand it. Like if Republicans find somebody who disagree with us 90% of the time and we find 10% that we agree, we're like, hell yeah, 10%, right? We're like, that guy gets it on immigration, you know, and good for him. He's really dumb about all this other stuff, but he is right about this, and that's good, and we have common ground there. It is the exact inverse of the left. Now, maybe this is just a coping mechanism because Republicans have been so, you know, kept excluded from mainstream news and stuff that just even seeing somebody be semi-conservative is like a revelation to us. You know, there's that condition. And maybe it's not a good thing. You know, maybe we do need to be a little bit more hardcore about who we welcome in to the movement. Maybe 10% is not enough to say you're on our team. I think we've seen a lot of that recently. However, it is better than the cult mentality mindset of the left, which says if you deviate from us on anything ever, you are the enemy. In fact, you're worse than the people that are completely against us because you're like a traitor. You're like a traitor. And as we've explained over and over again, whether it is an abusive relationship between a couple, a small-scale abusive relationship in a group like a cult, or a nationwide abusive relationship between the media and the people, the government and the citizens, they follow the same pattern. They invoke the same psychological manipulation to maintain control. And that's what happens with the left. And if you know anything about cults, you know they're very nice to people outside of the cult, usually. Usually, they want more people in their cult. And so if you're not in their cult, if you think their cult is insane and stupid, they'll meet you with a smile and shake your hand and say, let's correct some of those misconceptions you have about my wonderful group. But if somebody inside the cult says, yeah, I don't know about the latest revelation about how the prophet has to sleep with my daughter, that seems a little bit suspect. Then it's like, well, time for you to go to the beating room. Time for you to sit in the beating circle and we'll all have a whack because you just disagreed with us on about one thing. So the abuse is coming. They always abuse people inside of their groups way more than the people outside because that's how you maintain control and maintain that facade of unity. So John Fetterman is worse than an enemy of the Democrats. He's a traitor to them. He's worse than an outsider to the cult. He's an insider that has turned coat on them. So just understand how they see this. Here's John Fetterman explaining that the left is, in fact, worse than the right. Let's watch.
You said, quote, I've drunk deeply of the venom of both the left and the right. As a connoisseur, I can confirm that the most poisonous, the bitterest, is from the far left. That is pretty remarkable. To hear you say that as an elected Democrat. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, You know, it's just been my personal experience on this thing. And when I asked my digital team, I said, you know, we're on all the platforms. You know, really, what's kind of the harshest? What's kind of the most personal? And the answer was immediate. He said, oh, blue sky. It's blue sky. And the difference is, I mean, the right would say really rough things and names. You know, some names I won't repeat on TV, but the on the left, it was like they want me to die, or that we're cheering for your next stroke, or that's terrible, that depression won. Why couldn't it depression won? And I hope your kids find you. They even have like the graphic, a gift where they have like a stroke, you know, in your head,
oh my gosh,
cheering at that. Yeah, and they said that, I remember one, they claimed, oh, the doctor let us down, and why did they have to save his life? Just really, like, I just can't imagine. People are wishing, you know, I wish he dies, or I want him to die, you know, literally cheering for a stroke. And I don't know what the kind of a place where that comes from. I mean, that's much different than just calling me a name. That's really been consistent, you know, in that community online.
That's just how they are. And I think my favorite part about that video is Dan Abash just like, oh my gosh. Just totally stone-faced, not caring at all. It's absolutely true, and it's sickening. And it goes back to, you know, the video that Nick Fuentes made the day after Charlie Kirk was murdered, where he just laid out, these are the two sides, man. The two sides are people that are like human beings, and that even if we're opposed to each other, we don't want to kill each other. And then it's the people that are heartless, people that are vicious, people that are extremists and psychopaths. They really are bad. there's no other way to put it. They're just evil people. And I'm glad more people are understanding this. I mean, we've shown multiple videos with this exact phenomenon with Cheryl Hines, RFK Jr.'s wife, saying the same thing. I got to D.C. and I realized, huh, these Republicans are actually very kind. Democrats are very vicious. And we learn this over and over and over again. So I hope he does better. I hope he recovers. I hope he survives being a leftist and disagreeing with them moderately. It ain't easy. Now I want to go to a video. I haven't actually seen this movie, but I thought this was fascinating, and I'm going to have to watch it. But it was public. It was sent to me on my ex. Somebody saying this movie really helped me understand things. I had not heard of this, but I love the premise of it. I'm not even sure if I should show it because I haven't seen the movie, and it could have a bad message at the end of the day. But I think this is such a the trailer sort of tells the whole story, and it's absolutely fascinating and sort of, I wouldn't say it's required viewing because, I haven't seen the movie, but like the theme that you're about to see expressed is required understanding for an info warrior. Okay. It's a movie called Mr. Jones's Plantation, or The Jones Plantation, clip number 9. Here's the trailer for this movie. It came out in 2023, and I love this premise, and I think it's a very valuable metaphor to understand in the modern world. Let's watch.
You can control a man for a period with brute violence, but you cannot truly own a man unless he thinks your word is law and that he must obey and is virtuous for doing so.
We are losing money. A little more every month that goes by with no end in sight. They can sense weakness, and they are gonna smell blood like a gator to chum. They're gonna kill us both.
Mr. Scott said this man is a miracle worker. I think he can help us.
You're a Nick?
Good people, good people. My name is Mr. Smith. As of this very moment, you are now all free. Free at last. Free.
From now on, we are all in this together.
This plantation will run on equality. I have created something called Jones Plantation Credits.
We're gonna keep them up to their ears in debt.
Jimmy Jack will now be in charge of our new security team.
to protect this plantation and to serve all of you. You two are going to have a little contest to see who can win the hearts and minds of the human livestock out there.
Bull Jones!
Most people are weak-minded to wield real power. You must be willing to do what most consider unthinkable.
What most people consider to be unthinkable is that men like you even exist.
That's our greatest advantage.
As free people, we work together for mutual benefit.
No slave.
They have tricked you into thinking that choosing your own master is the same as being free.
You offer them a truth that they don't want. They want to feel safe.
There's a dark thing going on this plantation.
Every man deserves freedom, but freedom isn't free.
I'm Nathaniel Jones, and I approve this message. God bless you, and God bless this glorious.
Here you go, Jones Plantation, the name of the movie. Again, I haven't seen it, so I can't even say if it's good or not. You know, it could very easily, take what appears to be a good message and twist it. So again, I don't want to get a bunch of comments from people being like, I can't believe you, that movie was totally socialist. Yeah, there you go, Mr. Jones Plantation, damn. Alex looks hardcore in that. I was like, that looked real. That looked like a straight up Civil War photo. That was crazy. How brilliant is that? Like, I wish I'd thought of this. A slave plantation with unruly, unhappy, unprofitable slaves gets a former slave himself to come in and convince the slaves they're all actually free, but have to participate in this debt-based monetary society and two-party voting system in order to truly be free. And of course, sort of the opening line of that trailer reflects the infinitely appropriate quote from Aldous Huxley, where he says, you know, you can do anything with spears except sit on them. In other words, you can conquer things and push people around, but you got to always be aggressive. You can never relax, right? The way to relax is to convince people to love their slavery, is to convince people that they're happy even when they shouldn't be happy. That is the true trick of the New World Order. That's the true trick of the powers that be, to convince you to willfully embrace your own slavery, to actively participate in your own indentured servitude. And they do it exactly as that trailer just showed, through empowering language and deliberately restrictive monetary policy. It's actually a very potent combination, those two things. So I thought that was absolutely brilliant, and is a good way to think about the struggle that we're waging right now. That it's very accurate how we are. In fact, I think there's I don't think it's Bill Hicks, but there's a stand-up comedian who says the same things. Says, it must have been weird with slavery, where it was like, all right, you're all free. See you back here on Monday. Right? You're all free to find your own lodging, but I need you back on Monday at opening bell on the line working for 2 cents an hour. That must have been a bizarre transition to go through. But in a lot of ways, that is the transition. It's one that we are still trying to break out of. In other words, I'd love to just show that to people who do think we're free because we can vote or because they can buy things at the store. It's like, do you not understand how the very things they're presenting as freedom are in fact the things enslaving you? That's just fascinating stuff. And I love that. And I thank the person who sent it to me. I can't wait to actually watch that full movie. Now, I want to go through some more news here for we welcome our guest, but I'm hoping I can get through all of it. There's another example of leftist violence breaking out. Manhunt underway for bat-wielding man who appeared at U.S. Attorney Alina Haba's house, destroying her property. A bat-wielding man appeared at the U.S. Attorney Alina Haba's office Wednesday evening and destroyed property in her office before fleeing the scene. Any violence or threats against any federal officer will not be tolerated, period. This is unfortunately becoming a trend as radicals continue to attack law enforcement agents around the country, Bondi said. Wow. You know what I think? You know what I think should be done about this is something. What I think you should do is literally anything, and then maybe we can mitigate this. Ms. Haba has said that she will not be intimidated by radical lunatics just for doing her job, and good for her, but another sort of scary instance of the left being violent radicals. What do you know? Now, this isn't exactly left versus right, except that it's the outcome of the leftist policy. And yet another example, and it seems like the examples are becoming more absurd, of people let out of prison to go on to commit another crime. I feel like when we first started talking about this, it'd be like, you know, wow, this guy with 38 criminal convictions was released on bond. 2 months later, he attacked a woman. But now it's to the point where it's like, hey, this person with 135 felony accounts got out of custody and started breaking windows at the courthouse he was being arraigned in. Like, it's the time period is shrinking. The number of violations is increasing. Things are just getting crazier. So get a load of this headline. Suspect accused of assaulting woman, freed without bail, returns in an hour to assault the same victim again. According to Charles County Sheriff's Office in Maryland, on November 7th, James Bowman III, 40, was arrested for domestic-related assault after he allegedly punched a woman in the face and bit her hand. The woman should have felt some measure of relief and safety knowing that her alleged attacker was behind bars. Instead, officials in the blue state of Maryland released Bowman from jail with no bail requirement under the Constitution that he doesn't, under the condition, rather, that he does not abuse the woman he allegedly attacked again an hour later. 1 hour later. Like, what is the point of having police? What is the point of having a criminal justice system? I ask that rhetorically, but let me answer the question. It's so you don't have to do it yourself. Right? The idea is, in this wonderful thing we've developed called Western civilization, that this woman, no matter who she is, no matter what she owns or who she knows, she calls the cops, and within minutes, highly trained, professional, and highly armed police officers will show up to put themselves at risk to rescue her and to protect her. And they'll haul that man away and leave her with a semblance of safety and security. But if he comes back an hour later and beats the crap out of her again, what's the point? So what should she do? I guess she needs a brother or a husband or a father to protect her. I guess they need a clan to protect each other. I guess we'll just revert back to pre-civilization because civilization isn't being enforced right now. And it's horrifying. We'll be right back.
This is official. It is the mega corporations of the world waging war against prosperity, against the individuals, against small businesses. Tune in and learn how to stop the Great Reset before it's too late. It's not too late to bring the globalists that are orchestrating and engineering all of this to justice. Because if they get the blame for what they've engineered, they're going to go to prison. And their future operations to totally depopulate us, once the collapse takes place, will be stopped. So this is absolutely life-saving, critical, most important information in the world right now. It's why this broadcast still being on air keeps the New World Order, people like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and King Charles awake at night. That's not a boast. They attack us. They spend their time and energy trying to shut us down. They have emergency summits at the White House yesterday calling us white supremacists because we're willing to stand up and fight them. We're willing to expose them. We're willing to be true to humanity and to God and our families and our children. This is a societal level collapse. They call it the Great Reset. This is their global domination. This is it. This is modern war.
Oh, no, I don't even know what this is. How did you get here?
I just
caught you, American. You visited Bandai Video. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg and others angry at you. Do what CNN says and do not visit Bandai Video or I have to hurt you. Kung Flu.
Folks, we'll be joined shortly by Sam Parker, but I wanted to cover this story first, in this first little 5 minutes, from New York Post today. Clinton-tapped judge could toss Tish James Comey cases after hearing arguments that Trump's prosecutor was unlawfully appointed. A federal judge on Thursday suggested that she could toss the charges against ex-FBI boss James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James, as she appeared to agree with the arguments that the prosecutor who brought the cases is illegitimate. James and Comey, Tish James and James Comey, are seeking to have their cases for bank fraud and lying to Congress respectively, dismissed on this technicality, claiming Bondi used up her one opportunity to appoint somebody to the empty position for a 120-day period when she installed Halligan's predecessor. Prosecutor Henry Whitaker countered during Thursday's hearing, the attorney general is entitled to multiple 120-day appointments. Curry appeared not to agree with that argument, noting that judges had traditionally made appointments to fill vacant U.S. attorney posts for centuries. Congress gave the attorney general the power to make interim appointments starting in 1986. During normal term periods, the president would appoint U.S. attorneys who would then be confirmed by the Senate. We have about 200 years where judges made the appointments, Curry said. Defense attorney Abe Lowell argued for James, who was not present in the court Thursday, that the government's position on appointments would give it the perpetual ability to keep it reinstalling people, bypassing Congress's sign-off. If all that's needed is an AG to appoint a U.S. attorney every 120 days, even a person like Steve Bannon or Elon Musk could have overseen the grand jury proceedings, as Halligan did, Lowell argued. Yeah, great point. What? Basically saying, well, he's allowed to pick somebody that Congress wouldn't have allowed. Which, okay, fine, but these are the rules, and we're playing by the rules. And it's just one of these things where it's like, there's got to be a point where justice and the, like, fundamental requirement, the duty of the government, has to supersede the board game-like rules that govern the process. Like, this is why people want an empire, right, or a reorganization, where it's just like, these rules that have been established and then changed and then altered and then precedents set and da da da. And it's like eventually get to a point where it becomes self-defeating. It all becomes absurd. James Comey committed treason, in my opinion. He, at the very least, did in fact lie to Congress. We can't have justice and the dispensation of justice interrupted because of these little technicalities. Because you passed go, but you didn't get $200. It's like, what are we talking about here? We're trying to get justice. We're trying to achieve something here. And, of course, the absurd part about it is that this the interim person was only appointed as a last-ditch emergency effort because Comey was being slow-walked. President Trump's former personal lawyer, Lindsey Halligan, had been on the job for just 4 days as U.S. attorney when she stood before a grand jury seeking an extraordinary and unprecedented indictment of former FBI Director James Comey. There were, of course, the grave political implications of the indictment brought forward after a president demanded retribution against his political enemies with Comey at the top of the list. But there's also the fact that it was the political appointee Halligan alone, with no prior prosecutorial experience, asking the grand jury to hand up an indictment on two counts of lying under oath and one of obstructing justice, a not-so-subtle sign of protest from the Eastern District of Virginia prosecutors over the strength of the case. Again, you need to understand is that for months, U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert slow-walked the prosecution, claimed he could not get an indictment, despite the fact that he was a expert in this and this was his job that he was a veteran in. And it was only when they figured out that he was married to the daughter of James Comey's daughter's godfather, in other words, as close as you can get of a relationship without actually being blood family, that he was fired. This other person came in with no experience and got the indictment in 4 days. So they take their corruption, their malfeasance and manipulation, and then the act taken to confront or counteract their subversion is then being used as a reason why the case can't go forward. Anybody else just tired of these little games? Anybody else just tired and sick and tired of playing these little games with the ever-changing and sometimes ignored rules? Can we just get justice?
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Steam Off was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Steam Off because it's a thyroid issue and the Steam Off has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-element formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Groip Force 1 has been deployed. Groip Force 1. The anti-Israel contingent. Let's keep the audio up. Keep the audio up. We're still rolling with this. Groip Force 1. The federal agents have been deployed to counteract the insurgency. But the happy little frogs are having none of it. This is a fantastic animated AI creation from a user named Transcend 1984, but Transcend is with a 3 instead of an E. Transcend, but a 3 instead of an E. 1984 made that Groip Force 1. I just thought that was an incredible creation, showing really where the energy is these days and what the mood is these days. I thought that was a fitting intro to my guest, Sam Parker. You can find Sam Parker on X at @BasedSamParker. And he has a GiveSendGo, that's GiveSendGo.com/DefendSamParker, because he has been targeted with the same lawsuit that Elijah Schaefer and others have been saddled with. He's a former U.S. Senate candidate in Utah who has been questioning Alexis Wilkins' background and allegiance and concluded that she may very well be an Israeli spy who may have been set up with Kash Patel by a foreign intel operation. Sam Parker, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Harrison. I appreciate you having me on. I do have to correct the record. I have made no such allegation. I have made no such conclusion and no such allegation. I don't know who Alexis Wilkins is completely. I've just been investigating her background, reading her own posts, reading her own website and articles, and watching her own social media. I don't know who she is, and I don't allege that she works for anybody except herself. I don't know. So I have not concluded that she's Mossad or honeypot, as many people have. I've never made that allegation or assertion. So I want to make that clear right out of the gate. But and I appreciate
well, the producer that wrote this is fired right now. He's out. We're not going to stand for it. Well, that's why I said may, and I think I said allegedly. I thought I said allegedly because you got to be careful. You know, you do have to be careful with this stuff. I've been sort of making the half joke that she has all of the hallmarks of an Israeli Mossad agent, right? That was the way that the FBI phrased Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation. Mm. They never actually said that. They said it has all the hallmarks of it. And it's like these types of little weasel words, but, you know, it can really save you. So actually that was going to be my first question anyway, because I know Elijah Schaefer has been sued. All he did was retweet a picture of her, you know, on top of somebody else talking about honeypot operations. This has been interpreted to mean all sorts of things that he never actually said. What is it that you've said? What is it that they've presented as, you know, whatever they have to sue you on? On what basis are they filing this
lawsuit? Well, they say that I have insinuated that she's a Mossad honeypot and that it amounts to a violent libel or violent defamation, I believe is the language. And it's mostly based off of a tweet thread that I did last February, by the way, 9 months ago.
Oh, wow.
So it's been out there for a long time. And the tweet thread literally starts with, who is Alexis Wilkins, girlfriend of Kash Patel? Something along those lines. It's like, who is she? And then I just go through a series of tweets that just examine who she is, what her background is. I took her own social media posts, articles of interviews that have been conducted with her. And I just literally ask questions. Well, okay, who is this? What is this? Let's look at this stuff. And that's it. I didn't make any conclusions. I didn't make any assertions. I didn't insinuate in any way, shape or form that she was Mossad or a honeypot. I just asked some questions, but the most pointed question I think I asked was, what's a 23-year-old, what's a beautiful young 23-year-old doing, who paints herself as a devout Christian? Why is a devout Christian with an older Hindu man? I thought it didn't make sense because, you know, she pines for a heritage American. So if anything, I was maybe critical of that, but it was just it's just a question. I wasn't insinuating anything. Like, I don't even know what it means. Maybe she doesn't see her Christian devotion maybe she doesn't see her relationships or her potential relationship or life partner as relevant to her type of Christianity. I don't know. I'm just asking questions. Like,
she's out of his league, which frankly, I mean,
Basically what I said. Yeah. She seems out of his league. Like, here's somebody who could probably get just about any kind of guy she wants. And this is the guy she settled for. Okay. Listen, there's no accounting for taste. Maybe that's all it is. Somebody who's dating the director of the FBI, shouldn't we be able to ask some of these questions and just maybe take a look, you know?
Right. That is the danger. Hey, every once in a while you see a couple and you think this must be the result of an international plot because something's off here. But you know, again, I'm making light of this because the whole thing seems silly to me, but it's not silly. You're being sued for $5 million, yep, just like Elijah Schaefer is. Right. This is a serious free speech issue. I mean, if you can be sued for things you didn't even say, insinuations you may have made or questions you may have asked about public people, she is public too, right? He's the director of the FBI. You certainly should be allowed to ask questions about him and anybody in his personal life because he has such a responsibility. But she's also not a wallflower. She's not a private citizen who avoids the spotlight. She's public. She has a public profile. And so is perfectly valid for, in my opinion, any sort of speculation you want to make on her and her motives. Now, my thing was, let's stick on that for a second. Talk about that a little bit and about, you know, what it means that this is an FBI director who is now, because he's a part of this lawsuit, right? It wasn't just her. It was him as well. Is he in the filing?
It's his law firm. It's the law firm that represents him and that represents his foundation. I think it's called the Cash Foundation. So either he, and it's based out of Washington, D.C. or Virginia or something. And she lives in Nashville. So she's using the law firm that represents him and his foundation in another state from where she lives. And I think it's fair, like, either he knows about this lawsuit or he doesn't, right? If he doesn't know that his law firm that represents him and his foundation is representing her in these multiple lawsuits of people around the nation, if he doesn't know that, he's the director of the FBI and he doesn't know that his own girlfriend is using his law firm, that's a rough, whole other set of questions, right? but let's say he does. Like, if he does, then I guess isn't he allowing it? He's allowing this with his consent. He's allowing, like, yes, law firm that represents me and my foundation, yes, it's okay for you to bring these suits. And so I think it's fair that we should look at that. If he's allowing this to happen, if he's giving his consent, then I think it brings into question a serious First Amendment issue where the director of the FBI is essentially perhaps consenting to lawfare against a private citizen for journalism, social media tweets.
It's particularly absurd in this media environment where the top news of the day is the Jeffrey Epstein honeypot operation, and where his emails are released, where you can see very clearly they're talking about leverage. They're talking about, you know, how you can smear people or control people by, you know, hooking them up with people. I mean, what I'm saying is that this is a well-known and well-established practice in the spy world of getting information or compromising somebody as you get them to be in a relationship with one of your agents. So the idea that we're not supposed to ask that question about the people in our government, you know, it's maybe that's not the case with Alexis Wilkins. Maybe she's totally innocent and, you know, whatever, she's not. But in the future, there might be a case where you've got a foreign spy who is, you know, manipulating American politics by being in the relationship with a powerful person. And we have to be able to ask that question and investigate those concerns because they're real. I mean, it's just absurd that this is being filed at a time when a literal Israeli honeypot operation is the number one news story in the nation right now.
No, yeah, absolutely. We have to be able to ask these questions. Now, in terms of Alexis Wilkins, look, as far as I know, she's not Jewish. I've never thought that she's necessarily a Mossad honeypot. I don't know who she is. Listen, she works for a congressman, Abe Hameda, out of Arizona, who is a retired or former captain in U.S. Army military intelligence. She works for him. She's his press secretary. She lives in Tennessee. He's in Arizona. She's his press secretary. She met Kash Patel at a Reawaken America tour that was put on by Mike Flynn, who was the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. I don't know what any of this means. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe she's just a really talented, beautiful girl who's connected herself to a lot of important people and is now dating Cash because they met and fell in love. I mean, that's perfectly possible. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But I do find it curious and interesting that she is at the nexus of all these interesting people and relationships. And I don't know too many people like that. So I thought it was fair to, like, present that information and just ask some questions, and then the internet can go, you know, however the internet reacts to that, that's their business. It's not mine. I'm just asking some questions. And to my knowledge, I don't think I ever even remembered asking, hey, do you think she might be a Mossad honeypot? I don't think I ever even asked that. I didn't even ask if she was Mossad or honeypot. I never even asked those questions. I never even insinuated. I just said, okay, here's this person. Here's who she's done work for. Here's her relationships. Here's her social media. Who is she? She's dating Kash Patel. That's it, you know? And
so again, we know with Elijah Schaefer, because, you know, he published some of the documents, or we saw some of them where, you know, basically they took a picture and said, by posting this picture, he is in effect saying, and then they have a bunch of things that he never said, but that they're saying he insinuated. Was it similar with the filing against you? I mean, what claims were they making that you made?
So they said that, like, I was insinuating that she was a Mossad honeypot with my thread and some other posts. Like, there's one post where I called her a Christian honey, but, like, you know, honey in terms of, like, let's go to church and check out the honeys. you know, the beautiful babes, right? Like, let's go check out the honeys, right? And to my knowledge, I've not known anybody to ever be a Christian honeypot. Is that even a thing? Is a Christian honeypot a thing?
Interesting.
Like, I don't even think that's a thing, right?
Yeah, but they alleged that when I called her,
they alleged that when I called her a Christian honey, that was short for honeypot, and that's where I was saying that she was a honeypot. I'm like, no. And I had a picture. She's a beautiful girl, right? So I'm like, she's a Christian honey. That's what I meant. She's a babe, right? A Christian babe. So then there's like a couple, replies that I gave to people, emojis, like other people, I think, making allegations or drawing conclusions. And then I put like emojis for the Twitter engagement, like, you know, an emoji with the spectacle, you know,
right.
The spectacle glass or whatever.
And they're saying that this is a good one, yeah.
Yeah. And the thinking, this is me endorsing the opinion of a response, you know, they're inferring what I meant by an emoji, right?
So it's almost it's almost like there's multiple levels to this. It's like, okay, it's bad enough for you to be sued for making this claim, but then the next level is you didn't even make this claim. The next level is she's a public person, and any speculation I think is warranted. Maybe you can't make factual claims you can't back up, but I think any sort of mitigating, I think this is the case or this might be the case, I mean, you're allowed to do that with a public person. Then you've got the fact that she's tied in with the FBI director on top of it. It's like any one of these things should mean that this case should have never been brought. You've got multiple instances of this, and it really is just an attack on the First Amendment. I mean, do you think this is more about your thread about Alexis Wilkins? Have they been stewing over this since February and just now filed the lawsuit? Or do you think this is about your overall coverage, your anti-Israel, you know, sentiment? Because that was what I was getting from Elijah Schaefer. He interviewed with Alex earlier today about the same subject. He's also being sued. And he was saying basically thinks it's because of his anti-Israel coverage. They wanted to target him, and so this is what they decided to target him with. Do you think something similar is happening with you?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to read Kash Patel's mind. I do know that he tweeted like, hey, you can come after me, but don't come after my girlfriend.
That's right.
He did. And this, that, at the very least, seems like the legal embodiment of, you know, him inserting himself, you know, don't talk about, it's the legal equivalent of, hey, don't talk about my girlfriend or something. That's what it feels like. That's what it seems like. Beyond that, I mean, I don't know. I am very outspoken. I'm a very outspoken anti-Israel voice, of course. I've been very outspoken investigating the Charlie Kirk assassination and what I think might be a cover-up. And I know that Kash Patel doesn't like that insinuation. He called people like me who are investigating this, he called us anarchists, right? A couple of weeks ago. I'm not saying that this is retribution for that, but, maybe it's a factor. You know, I don't know. I can't read his mind. But like I said before, either he knows about this or he doesn't. And if he doesn't know, no, that's a big problem. And if he does, that's also a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, it's another problem with this Trump administration and Kash Patel in particular. It's just another thing that's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why focus on this? This is such a dangerous precedent. And you're doing it against right wingers. I mean, it's so absurd. Do you know who else has been sued? So it's you and it's Elijah Schaefer. And of course, I want to remind people to go to givesendgo.com/defendSamParker. And you can follow Sam on X at @BasedSamParker. And I want to encourage people to do that because I do think it's important you guys win this case. I think it's really important that this not be set as a precedent for people to be able to do, despite the fact that they've done it to us. I mean, you might not know, but, you know, an FBI agent was central to the lawsuit against Alex Jones. It was an FBI agent that we'd never mentioned before, but was apparently involved in the case. And he was sort of the person who got the whole case going. And as far as I understand, recruited the other people to join him in this, large scale lawsuit. So the FBI using lawsuits to silence people is not even anything new. They did it to us. It seems like now they're doing it to y'all. Who else has been targeted by this?
Kyle Serafin is the other one.
Really?
In August, he made some comment on his podcast or his stream about her, and then she's suing him over that too, also for $5 million. Now, when that happened back in August, I thought, well, you know, at that point in time, it had been like 6 months since I'd done my thread, and I hadn't heard anything. And I'm like, I never called her anything. I never accused her of being anything. I never made any definitive assertions of any kind. So I think I'm fine. You know, I think I'm okay. You know, I just asked some fair questions, presented some publicly available information and left it at that. I wasn't even the most viral post. Other people I saw were making posts that were definitively saying she was a honeypot or really directly asking the question, is she a honeypot? And they're getting like 5, 6, 10, 20 million views. Like my thread got like, I don't know, 1.5 million views over 9 months or something. So it's not even like a top. It's like not even a top post. I mean, it's not nothing, but it's not even a top post. So I don't know. The timing is very interesting. You know, if Kash Patel, knows about this and he's given his consent, I mean, that's strange. And I don't know, maybe like, doesn't that maybe open him up to discovery? Doesn't that make him possibly a witness in this? In these proceedings, like, and right. Now his communications, is it responsible of him to be doing this? I mean, I don't know.
Well,
but are we afraid to ask the question? Cause as you pointed out, this could set a terrible precedent. What if they're victorious in these lawsuits against Kyle Seraph and Elijah Schaefer and myself? What if let's say they're victorious. What kind of chilling effect is that going to have on journalism in this country and just social media in general? If, like me, I'm just a Twitter journalist, I'm a social media journalist, I just dig up information, report stuff, state my opinions, ask questions. If somebody like me, you know, if they're successful against me and Elijah and Kyle, this is going to have a super chilling effect. It's going to set a terrible precedent for other future lawsuits that other powerful figures can use to go after people online for asking legitimate questions, having legitimate concerns, and doing legitimate journalism.
Well, 100%. And of course, this in particular is such a strange sort of thing to try to establish a precedent on, because the whole point of being a spy is that there's not going to be evidence for it, right? So it's like if you're not able to speculate whether somebody is a foreign operative without proof, how are we going to get – of course you have to be able to speculate this, knowing that – proof may never arise and it will always maintain, right. You know, be maintained in the realm of speculation. Like, that's fine. But the whole point of being a spy is that the powers that be, the authority structures in your nation can and will hide factual evidence that they're spies under national security. So this whole thing seems absurd. If anything, it's like you should be able to speculate that anybody is a foreign spy. Like, that is sort of fundamental. And we don't have too much longer with you, but my whole thing with Alexis Wilkins was that she works for Prager University, which is run by alumni of Unit 8200. It's well known. Marissa Strait was in Israel's Unit 8200, which is their cyber warfare psychological operations unit. She now runs PragerU, and Alexis Wilkins now works for her. No matter what you think, that is a foreign spy employing Kash Patel's girlfriend. Am I wrong there?
Well, I think we do have to be careful. She made a post that I responded to where she says she doesn't work for a spy, but she did work for the PragerU platform. And I thought that was a bit of a hair split. I'm like, okay, so you don't work for a spy, but you did some work for the platform.
Right.
Okay, but that's not me. I'm not accusing Alexis of being a spy. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people have done some work for PragerU.
Sure. They're not all spies. Right?
And I'm not alleging that everybody who's done some work for PragerU is a spy. I'm not alleging that she's a spy. I was just, you know, okay, let's just be truthful about the facts here. If you think that Marissa Strait is still a spy because once a spy, always a spy, and she took an oath to, you know, an oath of loyalty to Israel when she joined the IDF, then it's reasonable to think, well, maybe Marissa Strait is still a spy, and therefore anybody that does work for the PragerU platform is doing work for somebody who is a foreign intelligence operative. But I'm not making that allegation. You know, I'm not making that allegation. I'm not saying she is. I'm not saying that anybody that works for PragerU is. I think there's a lot of well-meaning people that do work for PragerU, that submit content for PragerU. A lot of good people, a lot of well-meaning people.
But their CEO herself has acknowledged that she worked for this highly secretive IDF battalion. So yeah, I think that's perfectly valid criticism. So you never even made the claim, but they're suing you for $5 million, folks. Go to givesendgo.com/defendSamParker. He's on X at @BasedSamParker. Support him, because we cannot allow them to set this precedent. This is massively dangerous. The First Amendment is on the line here. Thank you, Sam.
You know, today is the 1 year anniversary of the fake auction they had last year. The judge ordered an auction. We had groups to buy that would keep us on air. We later sued them. I got the internal emails. The U.S. trustee of the Justice Department that intervened in my bankruptcy. They're talking to the Democrat Party plaintiffs. So they said, we're not going to ever let him stay on air. We're just going to cancel the auction and you can basically give it to you. But tell the judge in the world it was an auction. Remember all that? That auction was today, a year ago. How embarrassing for them. And a lot more has obviously come out, and a lot more is.
The satirical website and newspaper, The Onion, has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable until further notice. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world where hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is.
And there is an investigation of that going on. I'll just stop there. They already know. They've been visited. But they don't care. They just go forward. And I said, you cancel the auction. This isn't a real auction. I'm going to go challenge it. And the judge wasn't corrupt and blocked them. So just remember what we've all been through and all the other stuff.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
We are listener supported by you. And I'm obviously only going to sell you stuff that really has a great effect. You buy the Patriot t-shirts with the widest selection, some of the best designs, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, great designs, great messages, wake people up, meet like-minded people. Discover what it's like to be Alex Jones or Donald Trump. It's a total adventure to wear. But the supplements is where I can really deliver to you. The ultramethylene blue, 99.9% of people feel it within 30 minutes. But its real effects are long-term. Cleans out your cells, energizes your body, over-the-top energy with no letdown. The highest quality, highest-rated bovine colostrum. If you don't know about bovine colostrum, please research it. Then know we have the best. 2,000 milligram per scoop. But the Shilajit, and Shilajit is amazing, but not all Shilajit is equal. No, it would take an hour to get into that. Research Shilajit and know we have the best. It has all these natural peptides that boost testosterone in men, make your skin glow, stamina, libido, clarity. It goes on and on. And so the new flash sale for 48 hours is Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free, and a free hat. Murdered out, limited edition, InfoWars, ball cap, black on black. And this is the last day for the free hat. We're going to extend until tomorrow. Buy one, get one free for the Shilajit gummies. But today is the last day, this Thursday, November 13th, 2025, to get the free ball cap on top of it. That is an amazing deal. I want to thank all of you that have supported. I want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence and haven't done it. Now is the time to take action and experience how great these products are. The Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, the Ultramethylene Blue. It's all there at thealexjonesshow.com, which I don't own. That's our sponsor, Bigly. It's financing and owns the new Alex Jones Network backup system. Everything else is happening. So it's not just critical for your health and your longevity and to experience these great products, which you need to believe me and try them. They really work. It's beyond critical in keeping this transmission on the air, which the globalists dream about getting off the air. So thank you all for your past support. I want to thank those that have taken action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I wanted to take a minute and just talk briefly about Israel mostly. Well, just sort of the modern discussion, the endless conversation going on forever, the circles we run in over and over and over again. And it's like, I feel like I understand Alex's frustration. And I feel like I want to explain it. And I've explained it before, but I want to reiterate this. So I want you all to imagine that it's like the mid-90s, And it's like the depths of ignorance. It's like the full dark ages in America, where you're Alex Jones, you're on like a, you know, community radio station and the Access TV, and you're telling the truth and you're trying to warn people about the New World Order, but nobody's ready for it. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody thinks you're crazy. Everybody thinks you're an idiot. You're a laughing stock of the New World Order. Yeah, right. Where's your tinfoil hat, weirdo? Meanwhile, you know, the American government just got done burning 80 children to death in Waco and patting themselves on the back for it. I mean, it was really the depths of ignorance in those times. And as you're doing this, as you're making a name for yourself by telling the truth and being forthright and upfront and showing your evidence and showing your work and being open-minded, like, you're doing all of this, and you find that there's this third rail issue of the Jews. And you find that anytime you talk about conspiracies at all, but certainly anytime you talk about anything to do with Israel or anything to do with the ADL or any other Jewish group, you find you are besieged on both sides by the radical anti-Jew people who are furious that you're not doing enough and are therefore decided you're a part of the problem and their enemy. And the Jewish side of things, which is calling you an anti-Semite and a Hitler lover and a white supremacist and a danger to peace. Now imagine yourself, like, how do you chart a path to victory talking about the very real conspiracies that go on, the very real occultism that occurs in the background? How do you do it? Because going one way or the other seems like it's a dead end. And it's a false dichotomy anyway. And so you figure out it's a false dichotomy, and instead what you do is you stick with Americana. That's going to be the North Star. It's George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And sure, this group of people comes up and that group of people comes up. At the end of the day, it's about human liberty. It's about our founding documents and the ideas that they represent. It's about the process that brought about the Great Awakening and the Industrial Revolution, the Renaissance, and that America is this capstone on this explosion of human genius. And so, despite all odds being stacked against you, despite being a lone voice in the wilderness arrayed against an impossibly large army, you somehow, through work and grit and truth, succeed. You actually succeed in not just opening people's eyes to the New World Order, but kickstarting a political movement that has the New World Order on its heels. And you've done it over 30 years by never deviating once from that path of righteousness, Americana, pure Americana. Okay? For 30 years, against all odds, you use Americana to bulldoze the New World Order, achieve political victory with Donald Trump saying words you wrote, right? Globalism versus nationalism. Nationalism will be our credo. That's what carried Trump over the line in 2016. That's what caused the insanity to be unleashed. And here we are, 30 years later, having proven that this path of pure Americana was the right one, was the successful one, has had results that were unimaginable when he began. And here, 30 years later, a bunch of teenagers come along to say, shut up, old man, it's the Jews, we figured it out. We'll take it from here. We're all Nazis now. Can you imagine how frustrating that is? Can you imagine how frustrating it is in pursuit of true liberty, in pursuit of the fundamental ideology that founded this country and created the Western world, only to at the moment of victory have a bunch of literal Nazis show up and tell you, actually, we did this. Actually, this was us, and we'll take it from here. We hate everyone. Get your guns. You know, it's like, why would anybody be okay with this? And why would anybody think that this would be a necessary or even advisable path to go down? It's ridiculous. And if Alex had chose to go down that road, if he'd listened to some of those bullying voices in the beginning, you think we'd be where we are now? Do you think we would have had the success that we've had? Do you think our message would have resonated with people all over the world that spread the information and made people aware of it? So, because I understand, people, they talk to me about it, and they get frustrated with how Alex, talks about this issue. But how do you not understand how frustrating that is to be the leader of this movement and find that people are deliberately trying to take it off the rails? And the desperation and the intensity with which you must maintain trajectory. Because we've proven this is the right method. We know it in our hearts, and it just is ideologically. Again, I want to make clear, I'm not saying that this, like, strategically we did this, but, actually we believe it's like, this is just how it worked. This is just what was needed at the time, was to reconnect ourselves with the things that made America great. All right, you guys got to take it down. It's distracting me. It's distracting me. Tends to happen, doesn't it? You get distracted. You take your eye off the ball. Suddenly things get all wobbly. So anyway, I've just been thinking about that recently. And I just wanted to reiterate that. I think I said it during to Myron one time when he was in. But I wanted to say that just specifically to the camera, because I don't think people understand what it's been like to be so demonized, to be so mischaracterized, to be so hated from people on both sides of the aisle, to feel the pressure of people on one side saying, don't blame anything on the Jews, and the people on the other side saying, why do you blame anything on anybody but the Jews? You know, it's like, it's infuriating, it's frustrating, and it's unproductive. And at the end of the day, it's not even true, and we can get into all of that, but suffice it to say, the path forward, just like the path behind, is Americana. It's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Andrew Jackson. It's Abraham Lincoln, and it's Robert E. Lee. This is what we're about. This is what we promote. This is why we've had the success that we've had, because it's true, because it resonates in the heart of every man who's capable of recognizing goodness. So we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep succeeding, and we're going to welcome everybody else as they inevitably join us right here where we've been the entire time. I get a little frustrated at this, even though it's a good thing what's happening. I've said this before. Nick Fuentes says a lot of stuff that's out there and whatever. You go to other people for words to describe what Nick Fuentes does. But obviously it's racial and it's religious and it's, sort of a narrow demographic that he specifically speaks to and for. And yet, in one of his most recent shows, and the clip has gone viral many times over, he says, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what religion you are. If you're an American, if you were born here, if your family built this country, if your family or you fought for our values, then we're on the same team. And it's like, yeah, we know. It's like, yeah, we know. So yeah, not to start anything with Nick or anything, but it's like, yes, we told you. Welcome. Because it's just the message. It's just the right message. It's just the correct way to see the world. It's just the correct way to approach these topics. And eventually, if you're seeking the truth, if you're seeking true unity, if you're seeking what's best for America, you will also come to that conclusion. People get confused at that. They think that means that we don't like white people, that we're playing along with the melting pot idea. No, we're not falling for any of that stuff. We are just doing what our ancestors did. We're just listening to our ancestors, reading their writings, understanding and believing them. So there's no way InfoWars would be as powerful as it is today if we'd gone down some of these darker paths, or if we'd taken the money to go down the approved path. Alex Jones has carved with his own hands the path of Americana. And it is offensive to me a lot of times when you see people that are following in Alex Jones's footsteps, whose viewpoint is only really possible because of the information that Alex Jones originally spread, so disrespecting the pioneer that blazed the trail that they're so leisurely walking down. So we'll continue to blaze the trail. We'll continue to pursue that North Star. We'll continue to reiterate our firmly held and deeply committed belief of the value of every human being and the ability of every human being to manifest the spirit of God. So when everybody wants to join us over here, we'll be waiting. All right. And I say that because as a little intro as well to what we'll talk about with Tucker Carlson, but I should mention that all kudos in the world go to Alex Jones, but he would be nothing without you. And we would be nothing without you. And none of this would be possible to even dream of without the InfoWars audience. So thank you for backing the right horse. Thank you for understanding and helping us to spread and deliver this message. And we plan on continuing to do so forever if we can. And really, however long we last is entirely dependent on you going to the alexjonesstore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We got a ton of great stuff there. Bovine colostrum, 2-for-1 Shilajit gummies. There's also the brand new mobile app. I like this. Just keep the website here going so I can tell you all the different things. I forget. We have so many different things, so many different ways for you to support us, so many different incredible products for you to buy. I forget half of them half the time. Shilajit right now is buy one, get one free. The Shilajit gummies, absolutely incredible stuff. Buy one, get one free. Plus you get a free hat. It's the blacked out, or as Alex says, the murdered out InfoWars hat. So it's a little more subtle. It's not quite in your face, but it's black on black and it looks very cool and it's extremely high quality. These hats are the best of the best, just like our supplements are the best of the best, just like our news and our ideology is, in fact, the best of the best. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And on that note, I think I'd like to read a tweet I did. Actually, guys, if you can print it out, I'll read it off off a sheet. But I did a very long tweet yesterday, or this morning, I guess, is when I posted it, explaining a very sort of harsh and quick post I did. I want to read that if the guys can bring it out to me. But before we do that, and this is all on the same topic, I want to go to these clips from Tucker Carlson. He did a long episode today, sort of taking Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin to the mat, letting them have it. And I just want to say, just have me on, Tucker. You can just have me. Just give me a call. Give Alex a call. Just have me on because you keep using my talking points and it's flattering. But you can just say, you can just get it from the source. Just have me on. I'm not even really joking. Let's go to clip number 17 here. This is from Tucker's latest episode, and the whole thing goes on for a while, so I'll pause it and comment, but he makes some good points here. They're very good points. They're so good that I've made them many times before. Let's watch.
Pretty much every morning you wake up and open your phone and think to yourself, I wonder if this roiling fight on the right is still ongoing, the fight over who's a Nazi and who's Nazi adjacent and who should be platformed and who should be deplatformed. That fight, the one that has mesmerized ex-users across the world. What is that fight actually about and how long will it continue? Well, the first thing to know about it is that it didn't start 3 weeks ago with Nick Fuentes' appearance on a podcast. No, this has been a fight taking place mostly behind the scenes since January. And that tells you a lot about what it's actually about. So here's how it began.
All right, can we pause it here? Can we pause it? Has anybody else been saying this? Nobody else that I've seen has been saying this. What Tucker Carlson just said, I have been saying since January. And you know this. If you watch American Journal or War Room, I have said over and over again that the unspoken story, like the big secret narrative going on behind the scenes, is the civil war between the Trump administration and Israel. Now, I don't even think Tucker Carlson gets into some of the nitty-gritty here, but he's laying down the exact timeline that I've been observing in real time since it began. From Signalgate to the attempts to oust anti-war people in the Pentagon and around J.D. Vance, the attempt to oust Pete Hegseth, again, Signalgate, the leaks there, the ousting of Mike Waltz from the Trump administration because he was in communication with Netanyahu, the visits one after another to Netanyahu. As this was happening in real time, I was going, this is desperation. Netanyahu coming over and over again ain't because he's given orders. It's because he needs something. It's because this is desperation and he's trying to, you know, woo or seduce the Trump administration into starting war with Iran. So I love seeing Tucker Carlson illustrate this thread, this narrative thread that doesn't get highlighted by anybody but me, as far as I can tell. Again, I don't, you know, you don't need to hear this if you're a regular viewer, but like I constantly say this is the unspoken story. This is the true, you know, it's almost like this battle is going on. It's almost like a battle going on in the ocean, and it's just every once in a while you see bubbles come up and you go, I think I know what's going on down there. I think I can see through the shadows and tell who's fighting who over what. And it's Israel trying desperately to trick or seduce or threaten or blackmail or whatever the Trump administration into full-fledged war with Iran. And it still goes on and this still continues. And what's happening online with MAGA versus MIGA or the Charlie Kirk assassination, like it's all aspects of this. And what happened with Charlie Kirk, the text messages that were released showing his frustration with the Jewish lobby, showing his frustration with the forces around Trump telling him to go to war with Iran when Charlie Kirk was the one voice standing up against it. These are all part of this same effort, this same battle taking place behind the scenes. So we'll go back to Tucker Carlson here, but again, we've been watching this in real time, and I'm just happy Tucker Carlson is maybe making it known to more people. Let's go back.
Dated January 22nd of this year. Almost immediately after, he is visited at the White House by the first head of state to come to Washington, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. And the visit is not simply a congratulatory visit. They're not actually allies in any sense. Remember that Benjamin Netanyahu is one of the very first to congratulate Joe Biden after the 2020 election. So there's probably not a lot of warmth there, just guessing. No, there was a purpose to the visit and the subsequent visits by the Prime Minister of Israel to Washington. And that was to get American support for a regime change war in Iran to overthrow and replace the government of Iran, which the nation of Israel sees as its primary regional threat. Iran has all kinds of very dangerous conventional weapons. The United States spends a lot protecting Israel from those missiles. And Israel is also concerned that at some point, Iran will either make or buy a nuclear weapon, leaving Israel no longer the only nuclear-armed nation in the region. So that's what it's actually about. And to be honest, you can see from Israel's point of view, if you're trying to identify long-term serious threats to you, Iran would be at or near the top of the list, especially since Israel has taken out almost all the other threats. So it really, it's just Iran. The question is it in America's interest to participate in that war? And make no mistake, Israel wouldn't last 3 days in a war by itself against Iran. In fact, probably not even 24 hours. Israel's population centers would be taken out by Iran's conventional weapons. And at that point, the Israeli government could either nuke Iran, starting a chain reaction that, you know, you can't really predict once it begins, or allow hundreds of thousands of its own citizens, certainly tens of thousands, to be killed. So Israel could not do it alone, and no honest person suggests or would suggest that it could. It needs the United States. So the question from the American perspective is it good for America to get involved in yet another Israel-inspired regime change war in the Middle East? There have been quite a few, most notably Iraq. Is that a good idea? And so that debate began, and it mostly began behind the scenes. It didn't sort of peek out into public view very often, but when it did, the people who wanted the regime change war against Iran almost, with almost zero exceptions, almost never admitted what they actually wanted, and they certainly never acknowledged what the debate was actually about. It was about one nation's interest versus another nation's interest. Do those interests convene? Are they the same thing, or are they at odds with each other? I can see what would be a good idea for Israel to want this. Is it a good idea for us? That's the debate that never took place. And it didn't take place because almost from the beginning, the people who wanted regime change war with Iran made the debate instead about, why do you hate the Jews? You're a Nazi. So, and of course, again, that was never what the debate was about.
This is a sort of timeline that we've laid out ad nauseum on this show, so he's exactly right. And there's a couple things about this. For one, I still see people to this day saying that, oh, you were wrong about Iran. You were fear-mongering. You said it would start World War III. And it's like, well, thank God it didn't, first of all. And I always said I didn't like that Trump bombed Iran. I didn't like that we participated in that. I am glad it didn't spiral into World War III. But he shouldn't have done it anyway. And it's almost like, it's like if my son is about to like try to shoot an arrow off my daughter's head with a bow and arrow. And I'm like, you shouldn't do that. And then he does it and he hits the apple and she's fine. And it's like, see, Dad, it was fine. It's like, okay, but you still shouldn't have done that. Like, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad we didn't all die in a nuclear holocaust, but like, we still shouldn't have taken the risk. And it wasn't a foregone conclusion that it was going to end up as minor of a situation as it turned out to be. So I still completely stand by absolutely everything I said about that. But then on top of that, this again has been the argument I've been making since before the election in 2024, when I debated Michael Tracy and said exactly what Tucker just said. Israel's trying to get America into war with Iran. Iran's the only major force left. Like, all of this we know. It's good to see Tucker lay it out. But it's not just the Iran war that this has taken place. That last thing he just said, not once did were these people honest about their arguments. They always couch it in, this is best for America, America's at threat under Iran, when everybody knows that they're arguing for Israel. They're arguing for Israel's interest about what is good for Israel, period. End of story. But that's the same case when it comes to forcing China to sell TikTok. It's the same case when it comes to the pressure to force Harvard to fire their president. They claim that was about cheating or DEI or plagiarism, right? They claim TikTok is about Chinese control of American information. None of these things are in America's interest. None of them benefit America. None of them would have been done if it was America's interests at risk here. It's entirely because of it's Israel's interest, and these people are arguing for Israel, and they're willing and able to use America and cynically and dishonestly appeal to American interest to achieve their ends. So again, wonderful to see Tucker lay out what we've been telling you in ways that we've been telling you. It's going on behind the scenes, but sometimes it bubbles to the surface. This has been going on since Trump got back into office the second time, and it informs practically everything about what this administration has been doing, even before they got inaugurated. As I pointed out, again, ad nauseum, this goes all the way back to Matt Gaetz not being allowed to be the attorney general because of an Israeli honeypot scheme and because he was interested in uncovering Jeffrey Epstein and going against some of the interests that the Israel First lobbyists and subversives didn't want him looking into. So he wasn't allowed to be attorney general. So everything that Pam Bondi is failing to do, you can chalk it up to this conflict. All the stupid stuff Trump is doing with wars overseas, you can chalk up to this conflict. Bringing in 600,000 Chinese as part of the deal to sell TikTok to Larry Ellison, you can chalk up to this conflict. We have to solve this conflict first and foremost before anything else. We'll do more on the other side.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
In the meantime, meantime, I do want to remind you, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. You get a free hat with any purchase. Shilajit is buy one, get one free. Those are the Shilajit gummies, one of my favorite products. I always take the Shilajit gummies. I always take the Irish Sea Moss gummies. They are jam-packed with naturally occurring vitamins and minerals that your body needs and God gives us through these crazy elements. Shilajit and Irish Sea Moss. Who thought that they would be superfoods that you need? Get them today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
Folks, third hour of the War Room is on. Still got a lot of stories to cover. I don't know. Last time I opened up phone calls, I didn't get to very many. I felt bad. I guess something broke right as I did. But so I got a lot to talk. We'll open up phone lines in the next segment, and then we'll go to phone calls. So I'll try to earn the bottom half of this hour. But I want to continue with Tucker Carlson because he made some other points that you'll recognize if you're a regular viewer of InfoWars. Let's go to clip number 15. This is Tucker Carlson calling out Ben Shapiro and others like him, like Mark Levin, for clearly just not giving a damn about the American people. Let's watch.
You want people to follow you? You want to sell your ideas to them? You want to convince them of what you're saying is true? Show some love for them. Demonstrate that you love, that you care about them. Why are we doing this? Because we think it's better for you. Shapiro and all of these guys, they don't make an effort to do that because they don't feel that way at all. Shut up, cattle. You're a Nazi. Give us the money for our preferred little country or else we're going to denounce you. Man, those attitudes are incompatible with leadership and, in fact, with democracy itself. You can't have a country of 350 million people governed by boutique goals and concerns. I really care so much about this thing, and you better care about it too, or else I'm going to attack you and deplatform you. It doesn't work. It's illegitimate, actually. And if you keep it up, you're flirting with, you know, real backlash, like a real one. Not Nick Fuentes, like a real one. So cool it. Listen to other people. Don't treat them like cattle. Treat them like human beings.
Again, very, very reminiscent of the argument I've been making the whole time and the position I approach this topic from the entire time. And again, it's one of the frustrating parts about people just not listening to you or believing you. Where, like, in the beginning, when Israel was bombing Gaza and I mean, the bombs they were dropping on hospitals and stuff already was like, okay, this is kind of outrageous. But just projecting forward going, all right, all of Hamas is in tunnels. Israel doesn't have the manpower to go into the tunnels. All they can do is bomb, but the bombings don't hurt the tunnels. So all they're going to do is kill innocent people. And if they want to take over Gaza like they say they do, they're just going to have to bomb a block, move in. Like, that's going to be devastating. This is not a fight that's going to be worth it. This is going to cost a ton of money, a ton of lives. The brutality will be extreme, and they won't even be able to achieve their goals in the first place. They shouldn't do this. What do you think the response was? Gee, you're right, Harrison. For the sake of Israel, we should chill. No, like, obviously not, right? It's shut up, anti-Semite. Why are you on Hamas's side? So you think it's okay that they killed Jews on October 7th? Like, these ridiculous things. And yet here we are, 2 years later, Israel is in the most precarious situation it's ever been in. Their president can't go to Europe without getting arrested. And everybody in America has turned against him. Everybody under 50, at least. So maybe instead of calling us anti-Semites for our correct predictions about how Israeli actions would be perceived, why don't you try to listen every once in a while? But originally what Tucker was talking about was this idea that the leadership of this country genuinely despises the people And this is a topic that I got into with Alex last year. Perhaps it was the year before. Clip 10. Here's me explaining noblesse oblige, something we have lost in this country.
Trump should be talking about his persecution more.
Attorney General,
but it shows what an optimist he is. He's not even talking about himself, Harrison.
Well, he's got the classic sense of noblesse oblige, right? The obligation of the nobles. The idea back when you had nobles was like, all right, you get to live in a castle. You get to be fed. You don't have to work. But when the invasion comes, it's your ass in the armor with the sword going out and putting your life on the line to defend us. It was an obligation. The nobles got all these privileges.
Exactly. You can be an aristocrat, which means you lead from the front.
Right. And so now the people in power now, the elite.
Say that again in French. That's
noblesse oblige. Yeah.
The or is that Latin?
I don't even know. I think it's Latin, but it's the obligation of the nobles. It's the obligation the nobles are supposed to feel for the people under them because, you know, when it was the King of England and he had all the power, if England did well, he did well. It was just, you know, he had no incentive for not to sell out his
Latin. That was a mistake by me. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you, and I want to support everything you guys are doing. But the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I am going to open up the phone lines for your calls. We'll get to as many of them this hour as we can. Still have a little bit to, a couple of news stories to cover, a couple of videos to show you. But I do want to take your calls this final hour on The War Room. Infowarsstore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison is how you support us. And if you want to call in about any and all topics that we've covered today, anything that we've missed, give us a call. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We are live this 13th of November, 2025. Soliciting your calls, 1-877-789-2539. Now, there's more important things to talk about right now. Kind of. There's kind of more important things to talk about right now. For example, stuff like this. Germany calls up all men aged 18 or more for military medical exam. So we've been reporting how Germany has been increasingly flirting with the prospect of having a draft, going to war with Russia and calling up all of their young men. And it only makes sense. I mean, if you're goal is to eradicate the German population, which that seems to be the goal. War is a great way to do it. I doubt all the Turkish Syrian refugees in Germany are showing up proper and correct. Sir, yes, sir. Send me out to the front line. I doubt they're showing up. I doubt they even appear on the muster rolls. No, it'll be the Germans, particularly the ethnic Germans, who will be called away to fight and die on the front lines while their homes and jobs are filled by hostile foreigners. This is ridiculous. This is absurd. This is extremely dangerous. And yet another warning bell that the war in Europe is only increasing because of the bloodthirsty stupidity of the European leadership. So I should be spending more time on this. I should be spending a lot of time on this. Emergency conscription. So they called up all 18-year-old men for a medical examination to create a mechanism for emergency conscription after the ruling coalition ended months of squabbling over the future of national service. The country will not return to full mandatory conscription, which was suspended in 2011, but plans to expand its reserves by training up to 5,000 men each year. So again, very concerning that we are headed more towards nuclear war. Got other stuff. Apple has now released their own version of digital ID. They're calling it digital ID, saying, look how convenient it will be to be a cog in our slave system. Like, there's stuff like that that I'd like to cover. There's other stuff that would be fun to cover. Archaeologists reveal ritual objects tied to ancient biblical cult. You know, if the world weren't on fire, if the Republican Party, our last best hope of rescue in this final hour, was being ripped apart from the inside, I'd love to cover stuff like this. I'd love to tell you about the symbolic significance of the uncovering of an ancient biblical cult. Wouldn't that be fun? In Armageddon, by the way, in the hill called Armageddon. So, you know, maybe this is something we should pay attention to. Symbols are like signs, symbols, these things, they're real. They're real, okay? I've done a long thread about that. But we're not going to talk about these things. We're going to talk about Hitler. That's right. We're going to talk about Hitler today in the year 2025. Because I want to explain how this appears to somebody who's not obsessed with Hitler. I think I have a pretty good example here. From New York Post. Adolf Hitler. This is headline news in America. One of the leading publications in America published this on their front page today in the year 2025. This is breaking news. Headline news here. Pay attention. Here it is. Adolf Hitler may have had a micro penis and just one ball. You thought he was cool, but guess what? What is this article? Like, what is the article? What is this obsession? Who is doing these studies? They studied the man's DNA, apparently, in order to determine he has a micro penis and just one ball. It's a great bit from Nick Mullen about this. Because the other thing is, they write this article once a year. About once a year, they write the same article in major national publications, reasserting once again the utterly bizarre claim that Hitler had a small penis. Okay, thanks, guys. Next in sports, right? It's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? There's a Channel 4 documentary about this, apparently. It says Hitler's DNA, blueprint of a dictator. Which I think is actually like kind of disturbing because of the things we've heard the likes of Josh Hammer say. Josh Hammer, Jewish supremacist guy, says European DNA is anti-Semitic. And here you have Channel 4, the BBC channel, making a documentary about how Hitler's DNA was evil. It made him evil. It made him a dictator. And it made his weenie small. Wow. Amazing. Powerful stuff. So in response to this, I retweeted the article with perhaps an alternative headline. Wouldn't it be a little bit weird if you logged on and you saw Reuters news being like, breaking headline news, Adolf Hitler had a giant dong? What? Why are you saying this? And it's like, wouldn't that be like kind of weird and pathetic? Like, what if instead of Reuters, what if it was like the Daily Stormer? I don't know, some Nazi publication. Be like, actually, he was very well endowed. Actually, people were very impressed. And everybody said how beautiful it was. Okay, thanks. Thanks for the update, fellas. It's so weird. It's so weird. It's so, like, gross. Like, it's just like, what is this? Why is this on headline news in America in the year 2025? What is this psychological arrested development that we find ourselves in? And why are we still talking about it? And I hate to say it, but there's this obsession. And it is not good, and it's not healthy, and it never goes away. and it's indoctrinated into people. And it shapes the view of their world that, again, is like poisonous and kind of revealing, I think. And it's the grudge, the infinite grudge that Jews are capable of holding against empires that haven't existed in 2,000 years. Like, it's weird. I find it weird. Okay? I would find it weird if it was, like, wouldn't it be odd if you came to Texas and met somebody who hated Mexico because of the Texas Revolution? Wouldn't that be kind of weird? Wouldn't you think that person has got weird priorities? Like, I'll talk trash about it. I'll explain that Santa Anna was a dictator. I'll celebrate the heroism of the Texas revolutionaries who fought back and won against all odds. Like, it's a beautiful story. I love it. I am a little bit obsessed with it. But, like, even I am not holding a grudge against the Mexican people for the actions of Santa Anna. And that was only 180 years ago, let alone 2,500. And I'm saying this again, not to smear all Jewish people or anything, but this is a phenomenon that's fairly common and deeply troubling to me. We've talked about it before with people like Eric Weinstein, internet dark web intellectual. He goes to the Arch of Titus and flips it off. It's like, that's weird, man. That's very weird. You're holding a 2,000-year-old grudge. Get over it, I think. So what you should do is get over it. I bring this up because a video has been published recently of Benjamin Netanyahu talking about which book he's reading at the moment. And it reveals this mindset that, again, is troubling in anybody, but is particularly disturbing in the leader of Israel, who has carried out a genocide over the last 2 years against a largely disarmed and defeated foe. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu about what book he is reading before he goes to bed at night. Let's watch.
We want to know what you're reading now.
What I'm reading?
Yeah.
It's a book by a historian by the name of Barry Strauss. It's called The Jews Against Rome. Jews Against Rome.
What made you pick it up?
Well, we lost that one. We have to win the next one.
Jews Against Rome. We lost that one. We'll need to win the next one. Dude, you're Polish. Bro, you are from Poland. What are you talking about? Honestly, the Poles have a lot to hate the Roman Empire for too. So do the Germans. But why would you hold a grudge 2,000 years ago? What type of mindset is it that sees that conflict still going on? You want to talk about arrested development. And it's especially weird because it's like, in the mind of Benjamin Netanyahu, warmonger, prime minister of Israel, he is waging an existential civilizational war that's the same war they've been waging for 2,000 years against the same enemies, Rome, the Catholic Church, European power structures. You know, a lot's happened in between now and then. You know that, right? You know? A lot of big wars have been fought. I mean, it's just crazy. But you know, this is like a very key component of the Israeli mindset. Who was the first president of Israel? There are reports named after him. Ben Gurion, right? Well, just like every other PM of Israel, he also had a distinctly Polish name before he changed it to Ben Gurion. Ben Gurion being, I believe, one of the Maccabees who fought, I believe, against the Maccabees fighting the Greeks, I think. I can't quite remember which conflict it was, but it was the mountain where they all died. you know, that scene in the Sopranos. Actually, we should have brought in the Sopranos scene. Guys, bring in the Sopranos scene where they're beating up the Jewish guy, and the Jewish guys talk about Megiddo. I think it's Megiddo is what it's called. And he's like, the Jews withheld, you know, they'd rather die than give in. And, you know, where are the Romans today? Well, let's bring in that video. We'll play that after this next one. And to be honest with you, it's like I get it to some degree. When you read accounts of like Rome versus Jerusalem, it really is like the clash of, and you know, the immovable object versus the unstoppable force. It's like this empire just pouring endless resources into trying to take this city against people that are just fighting with everything they've got and will die before they surrender and are energetic and creative and able to hold their own. Like, it's actually it's a fascinating conflict between very different people. And especially I've watched an animation that sort of showed how it occurred, how the siege of Jerusalem occurred. And, you get this sense of just like, because I mean, the Romans, they're just like, oh, you know, they lock the gates. Well, then we're going to build a 3-mile ramp over the wall, and they just get to work. And it's just like this endless mass of humanity, endless resources just being thrown at this small group of people in this walled city that are just like busting out at night, doing sorties, burning the siege works and getting back in using tunnels. I mean, it's crazy. It's a cool story. I'm way off track here. But the point is, the first prime minister of Israel named himself after a hero from 2000 years earlier as a, you know, direct connection. We are them, right? It would be like if I became president of Texas and renamed myself Davy Crockett. Okay. Again, we wouldn't do that. Even that would be kind of weird for us to do that. They're doing it over conflicts that happened 2,000 years ago. Why this is important now is because it helps us to understand the real motivation behind the mindset of Benjamin Netanyahu. Let's go to the next clip. This is from him talking with Mike Pompeo a little earlier. Clip 14. Keep in mind, we just heard he's reading a book called Rome versus the Jews, saying we lost it last time, but we got to win it this time. Here's what he said when he was talking with Mike Pompeo.
We had a moving visit today to the wall. I can't resist repeating this, but I'm going to. I said to the secretary that the last time Pompeo visited Jerusalem didn't end that well. But this is a different time. Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people. But the new Rome, the United States, views itself as a new Jerusalem.
Okay, so America is the new Rome. But it's being seen as a new Jerusalem. Maybe that's the victory condition he wants. Kind of weird, isn't it? It's funny nobody got his joke. Mike Pompeo is there. Pompey the Great. I believe it was Pompey the Great. Sieged Jerusalem during one of his campaigns. He's making a G's like, last time a person with your name came, you killed all of us. And it's like, well, okay, you know, it's weird. It's a weird way to see the world, folks. Okay. It's a poisonous way to see the world. I'm even torn a little bit about, because I love history so much, and I actually, you know, respect that Jews have this connection to their past and care about this sort of stuff, but like, it is a foreign mindset to me to not just appreciate history on an intellectual or academic level, but to actually feel like anger at the things that happened. I was watching a video, and it was two converted Jews. I think both of them were from Israel. At least one of them, you know, grew up in a kibbutz or whatever. But he's saying, you know, they're talking about the historicity of Jesus. And the one guy who's sort of more American is saying, you know, if you think Jesus Christ isn't real, if you don't think the burden of evidence has risen to the point where you're comfortable saying Jesus Christ was a real person, then you can't even say that about Alexander the Great. Right, comparing how much historical evidence for these two characters there are. like, well, do you believe Alexander the Great existed? Because there's more evidence for Jesus than there is for Alexander. And the other guy he was talking to, who's the guy from Israel, from the kibbutz, was like, you know, here's a better example. And he mentioned a Jewish guy kind of around the same time as Alexander. And he's like, because Jews don't care about Alexander. And that like was like, what do you mean they don't care about Alexander? He was Alexander the Great. He was like the greatest general that ever lived. He was like a demigod. He like did things that should have been impossible. And then died before most people even, you know, get their feet under them in any real way. So, again, it's like, I love if you love history. I love if you feel connected to your ancestors. I got no problem with any of that. But, like, you still hold a grudge against Alexander the Great and Pompey and Titus? That's weird. That's weird. And, again, just like to understand how I think about this, I think what you need to do is invert it. And just like you would find it weird if there were Nazi magazines writing about how big Hitler's member was, like you'd be like, okay, thanks for telling us, guy. Like it's weird. In the same way, wouldn't you think it was poisonous if somebody today was talking about what some rabbi did to white people 3,000 years ago? And wouldn't that be kind of weird? Wouldn't it be weird if like, there was an Egyptian guy being like, the Jews, do you know what Moses did to us? You ever heard of the plagues? It's like, you're still holding a grudge over the 10 plagues of Egypt. You're messed up. You got something wrong with you. And you seem to be filled with a very deep seated hate that you're projecting on all of us. So again, I think it explains a lot of the mindset. Because what does Netanyahu say anytime people ask him about stuff he's done, or like when they questioned if he was responsible for Charlie Kirk's murder? He's like, these age-old anti-Semitic tropes, like we're poisoning the wells. And it's like, is this why Benjamin Netanyahu says stuff like that? Is he thinking about this stuff like that? Is he projecting that onto us? Does he really think white Christian Americans in the year 2025 are sitting there going, the Jews, you know, they poison the wells. You know, they made my great, 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 great grandmother sick. They're awful and we'll defeat them this time. It's like that is such a poisonous mindset. And it would be obviously poisonous if it was inverted. But for some reason, this is like cheeky to them. It's weird. I think it's weird, personally. Now, I want to, Hitler had a gigantic dong. Let everybody know. Tell everybody. I'm going to read my thing, then I'm going to go directly out to your phone calls on the other side. I got two more little follow-up things here to talk about. One from yesterday. This is an interesting post from AF Post. Data shows U.S. college seniors studying computer science outperform their foreign counterparts by almost a standard deviation. Indian college seniors rank as the weakest performers. So when we hear about all the skills, all these wonderful skills that we need to bring in infinite Indians for, understand that every single place other than the U.S. fails to even come close to our achievement capabilities. We would literally be better off taking ninth graders out of school and training them to be coders than bringing in Indians. American ninth graders, I think, would be better equipped and more capable. But what do I know? And then we have this huge, huge support and congratulations for regular caller to InfoWars, friend of the show, Nicholas Blanchard, a.k.a. Corn Pop. Here's the article from the main wire. Corn Pop takes on Augusta School. Blanchard enters board race amid mounting controversy. Oh, mounting controversy. What is the mounting controversy they want to saddle him with? The fact that he was arrested for being at a protest? Is that controversial? Controversial for stripping at the school board meeting? Somehow it's controversial to take your clothes off at a school board meeting, not controversial to allow men into the girls' bathroom. That's interesting. So if you're in Maine, Nicholas Blanchard Sr. has the InfoWars full-throated support, approval, and endorsement. Conservative activist Nicholas Blanchard, widely known by his online persona Corn Pop, has entered the race for Augusta School Board, stepping directly into a district roiled by months of protests, public clashes, and rising distrust between parents and school officials. Corn Pop, Let him know. Let him know, Corn Pop. This is the beginning of a very strong trajectory, I believe.
You know, today is the one-year anniversary of the fake auction they had last year. The judge ordered an auction. We had groups to buy that would keep us on air. We later sued them. I got the internal emails. The U.S. trustee of the Justice Department then intervened in my bankruptcy, where they're talking to the Democrat Party plaintiffs. So they said, we're not going to ever let him stay on air. We're just going to cancel the auction and basically give it to you. But tell the judge and the world it was an auction. Remember all that? That auction was today, a year ago. How embarrassing for them. And a lot more has obviously come out, and a lot more is.
The satirical website and newspaper, The Onion, has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable until further notice. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world where hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is.
And there is an investigation of that going on. I'll just stop there. They already know. They've been visiting. But they don't care. They just go forward. And I said, you cancel the auction. This isn't a real auction. I'm going to go challenge it. And the judge wasn't corrupt and blocked them. So just remember what we've all been through and all the other stuff.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
We are listener supported by you. And I'm obviously only going to sell you stuff that really has a great effect. You buy the Patriot t-shirts with the widest selection, some of the best designs, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, great designs, great messages, wake people up, meet like-minded people. Discover what it's like to be Alex Jones or Donald Trump. It's a total adventure to wear. But the supplements is where I can really deliver to you. The ultramethylene blue, 99.9% of people feel it within 30 minutes. But its real effects are long-term. Cleans out your cells, energizes your body, over-the-top energy with no letdown. The highest quality, highest-rated bovine colostrum. If you don't know about bovine colostrum, please research it. Then know we have the best. 2,000 milligram per scoop. But the Shilajit, and Shilajit is amazing, but not all Shilajit is equal. No, it would take an hour to get into that. Research Shilajit and know we have the best. It has all these natural peptides that boost testosterone in men, make your skin glow, stamina, libido, clarity. It goes on and on. And so the new flash sale for 48 hours is Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free, and a free hat. Murdered out, limited edition, InfoWars ball cap, black on black. And this is the last day for the free hat. We're going to extend until tomorrow. Buy one, get one free for the Shilajit gummies. But today is the last day, this Thursday, November 13th, 2025, to get the free ball cap on top of it. That is an amazing deal. I want to thank all of you that have supported. I want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence and haven't done it. Now is the time to take action and experience how great these products are. The Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, the Ultramethylene Blue. It's all there at thealexjonesshow.com, which I don't own. That's our sponsor, Bigly. It's financing and owns the new Alex Jones Network backup system. Everything else that's happening. So it's not just critical for your health and your longevity and to experience these great products, which you need to believe me and try them. They really work. It's beyond critical in keeping this transmission on the air, which the globalists dream about getting off the air. So thank you all for your past support. I want to thank those that have taken action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You want something on my shot? What, are you fucking kidding me? You know, most guys I know would be happy to get rid of their wife. I tried explaining the realities here. This guy's as stubborn as a fucking mule.
He said, all right, we're going to play this clip. It's got this, yeah, it's The Sopranos. We should have known. All right. should I even read this? Maybe I'll just tell you to go. Just go to my Twitter if you want to see what I think. I'm not going to read. Maybe I'll do a standalone video later, but I want to go out to phone calls and people have been holding. So let's do that. Let's go straight out to phone calls. Here it is, your final segment of the War Room. Support us, won't you, at thealexjonesstore.com. And we go first to Joe in the great USA on line one. Thanks for calling in, Joe. You're on about Mark Levin. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't understand how he picks on patriotic Americans like Tucker, Candace, Alex, all you guys. Has he said anything about Mamdani at all? I mean, Mamdani's a total lunatic hater. He seems to just attack. And I have a term. I'm sure I didn't make this up, but I have a term for people like him. I call him like an infantile mental case, you know, which is basically what most grown adults are now, especially in government. And it's just a matter of what flavor of infantile mental case can you turn out to be? And he's like the poster child for it.
You know, I you're exactly right. And it's funny because that sounds like something he would call somebody else. He's always, "You're infantile," something like that. But you're right. He is, although I don't know. Actually, I might disagree with you because I was thinking about this today. Because we keep seeing headlines that are like, a bill passed to deny illegals getting, federal funds. And it's like, why do we even have to pass this law? And it was making me think about sort of the quotes you hear about how, you know, the closer to death an empire is, the more ridiculous its laws are. And just this idea that just goes back to sort of the central theme of all of my coverage, which is, you know, that liberty is a responsibility and that if people can't moderate themselves, then you have to have an authority come in. So if you want to avoid tyranny, then the citizenry has to be informed and moral and competent. And this is like the central to everything going on is that everything is being infantilized, but it's not, I don't think it's because people are infants. I think it's because people are criminals. So I was thinking about this because it's like we have rules at my house that we don't have at the office, right? There are rules in my house like don't throw electronics, okay? Don't throw the phone. Just you're not allowed to do that. Now, that has to be a rule. That's a law at my house because my children are toddlers and don't know that you're not supposed to throw electronics. You don't need rules with adults who are responsible because they're not going to throw electronics anyway, so there doesn't need to be a rule. Even though it's possible that one might choose to do that, but it's like, why would that need to be a rule here at the office? People are responsible and adult enough to know not to throw electronics. But for babies, yeah, you got to have the rule because they don't know better. But with things like giving out benefits to illegal immigrants or, you know, any of these other laws that get passed where it's like men shouldn't be allowed in women's locker rooms. It's like these things are like infantile rules. They're rules that shouldn't be necessary, but it's not because people are so dumb that they don't understand that they're not allowed to do this or like they think it's okay. It's because either you have to have rules when people are dumb or when people are evil, people are bad, when people take advantage of vulnerabilities, then you have to have rules. So it's like when Mark Levin is going crazy and saying all this stuff, it can seem infantile, but really it's just dishonest. It's not that he doesn't know better. It's that he is choosing to do something bad, to tear down, you know, the right wing and not focus his ire on the left. And to be honest, I bet he has said stuff about Mamdani. I wouldn't be surprised if he's done a lot of coverage on Mamdani, but that's not what people are seeing right now because he is hyper-focused and his main concern at this point is destroying Tucker Carlson of all people. Let's go to this clip because I have it anyway and I didn't think I was going to play it, but our caller mentioned Mark Levin. Clip 12 here. This is funny. Here's Mark Levin saying, "You're not beating me. I'm not really trying." Let's watch.
And you know, one of the defenders of Tucker Carlson said, "He's in the top 10 of podcasters. Levin isn't even in the top 200. Am I a podcaster, Mr. Producer? I'm not a podcaster. So, I mean, we've got millions and millions of people in what we call radio. So I'm not a podcaster. Now, we run their show on a podcast and so forth, but that's the show we put on podcast to make it available to everybody. But if I were only a podcaster and not on radio, I'd be kicking their asses. I really would. I mean, people are going to say, well, how do you know? I just know. I just know you Levinites out there. You never know. We might do it one day. Who knows? Uh-huh. What do you want me to do, Rich? Sorry, buddy. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
That's Mark Levin saying that he'd kick everyone's butts if he was a podcaster. Okay, sure, bro. You do that. By the way, Alex Jones still kicks your butt on podcast, and we're also on the radio. And I bet our radio audience is bigger than yours. So what's the excuse? Now, see, he wants to downplay podcasts as if they're less respectable. He's on the radio, after all. All that means is that, you know, in reality, the distinction is podcasts have to be listened to by people choosing to listen to them. They have, they're if they're popular, it's because they're good, largely. It's because people like them and are going to listen to them. To be on the radio, the only person that has to like you is the person who hired you to put you on the radio. So actually, radio is a much more like exclusionary, exclusive, controlled, managed, not you're the best because you're the most popular, or you're the, you know, you're on the radio because so many people listen to you. People listen to you because you're on the radio. It's sort of an inverted thing. He thinks he would beat Alex Jones. And it's like, Tucker Carlson's in the top 10. No, Tucker Carlson's number one, sir. He's number one. And he was number one on national television when he did that. What's your show at? You know, Mark Levin has a television show. I have to tell you that because it's not popular. Nobody knows about it. But it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to him. As long as he has the, you know, control mechanism to place himself on top, then he doesn't have to actually compete. Let's go to William in Mississippi. William, thanks so much for coming on. You're on the air.
Hey, so one guy that I highly encourage people to listen to, are you familiar with Brian McClanahan?
I'm not.
So he's I believe he's the president of the Abbeville Institute. Really goes into a lot of the founding principles of the country. And speaking of books, another great book I encourage, it's by a controversial figure, but are you familiar with the rise and fall of the Confederate government by Jefferson Davis? And all the reason I bring it up is because he goes into a lot of the more nuanced details of the country, the Constitution, and its interpretations.
I'm not familiar with that. No, that sounds fascinating, actually. So he wrote this after the end of the war?
Yeah. He wrote it after the end of the war. I believe it was published in the 1880s before he died. Seriously, if you have not read it, highly encourage. It's a little bit of a dry read, but you will be absolutely shocked by the amount of information and notes that he has in it. Honestly, people that read it, there's two volumes. But people that read it come away from it just absolutely shocked at the stuff we're not really told. And it's not even from a necessarily pro-Confederate angle. It actually goes into, like, when he served as Secretary of War, goes into the first Congress. And
yeah, unless I'm mistaken, he didn't really want to be president, right? Am I wrong about that?
Oh, yeah, no. In fact, on page 61 in the book, he actually would put would circle it and put his signature in, because 1861 was the saddest year of his life because he was nominated president of the Confederate States of America, and he had to leave Washington, D.C.
Right. And yeah, he really didn't think, but, you know, that's what, you know, those guys had honor back then, right? So it was either, you know, when somebody called you to serve and, you know, appointed you president, you did your best. You got out there, and even if you didn't think, same as Robert E. Lee, right? I don't think Robert E. Lee wanted the Civil War to happen, but when it did, he was like, shoot, he left the American army and went to fight for Virginia. It was like, I guess I have to. I guess this is what I have to do. Even though he was in West Point, he was in the American army, he left it to go to Virginia, because that was his duty, and he had to do his duty. And even if that meant fighting and possibly killing his old classmates, that's what he had to do. And on the other hand, you have people like Sam Houston, who was against the Civil War, against Texas's participation in it, basically said, we just fought a revolutionary war of our own. We just joined this union. Now you want to leave it? We shouldn't do that. And when people voted against him, he said, all right, if you want to do this, I wash my hands of it. And he left and went and lived with the Cherokees and said, I'm out. You know, it's like, those are the honorable options. And so we have now is like, you know, if it was the modern day, Jefferson Davis would be like, well, I don't want to be president. I don't even think the Confederacy should happen. So I'm going to be president, and then I'm going to undermine the Confederacy from the inside. You know, it's like, but that didn't even occur to these guys. You either just said no and left, or you did your best, even if it wasn't, you know, what you wanted, because you had a duty to do your best. So, yeah, Jefferson Davis is a fascinating character. Thank you for those suggestions, William. I will look into both those. Owl Killer in Virginia is next on the list. Go ahead, Owl Killer. You're on the air.
Hey, well, so if you're going to play The Sopranos, you got to put the part in that episode where the guy's like, well, the Talmud says, and he goes, I don't give a F what the Talmud says.
What he says, yeah.
So, yeah, that was one of the best parts of that. Hey, so I don't want to I did not call in about Mark Levin, but just I want to say something real quick. 20 years in the military, we would – everywhere I went on the East Coast, all we did was listen from Alex Jones from 11 to 3 p.m., and then we would go right into Michael Savage, who they ran off of WABC, which is the same – it's 770 a.m. It's the same station that Mark Levin's on, and he always knew that there was something wrong with Mark Levin. Sean Hannity – he used to call Mark Levin Mickey Mouse on Laughing Gas. You got to see his skits on Sean Hannity, the wall banger. He calls him the wall banger because he was in construction. And Rush Limbaugh. Apparently, they all had like the same lawyer. I think it was Rush Limbaugh's, or same agent. It was Rush Limbaugh's brother. But anyhow, Michael Savage always knew about him, and they ran Michael Savage, who at the time was the second biggest show to Rush on AM radio. What I did want to call in about was what's going on. There's a popular YouTuber. Are you familiar with this guy Jesse on Fire? He doesn't cover politics much.
I'm not, no.
All right. Well, he's more of an MMA guy. He was playing a clip of Alex Jones, like a segment that was on Twitter, and it's about a five-minute segment where Alex Jones is like, stop saying this is by mistake. This is all by design. They already own 80% of the world or 80% of the stuff in the country, but they just can't help themselves. They want to own all 100%. And what Jesse on Fire was referring – what he was saying was, we are at what's called late-stage capitalism at this point, where they're – basically, your generation – look, I'm 42, man. Your generation doesn't owe us a damn thing, and you guys really don't have a future. If you think Mom – like, I'm not surprised Mom Donnie won in New York. I'm not surprised because, you know, that's New York. But if you think those ideas are going away, what – my wife is originally from the Dominican Republic, and I understand the history of, like, she knows about it, like why all the countries were communist in the 1980s inside of South America. And the reason they went communist was because we installed dictators all throughout Latin America and told them that this is capitalism. And the people are like, if that's capitalism, we want the opposite of it. What we're experiencing right now, this is not capitalism. The big thing is the people with the money are not betting on humanity. Alex is talking about the meat, the four big meat basic mafias that own the meatpacking facilities. Where are the billionaires just making the building these facilities? We can have them done in a couple of weeks if you really wanted to. Like, nobody is betting down is not nobody is betting on humanity. Nobody is putting their money into the fight. But what I'm seeing is what I just was parked next to somebody in a Rolls Royce filling up their, and then I'm next to somebody that is in a car that's falling apart with windows that's being taped up. Your generation is not. You do have a bunch of communists and a bunch of misinformed people, but the vast majority of you guys are not lazy. You just don't have. You don't even have a job to like look forward to. How are you going to buy a house? These people are talking about 50-year mortgages. I really think somebody needs to come up with a plan for the future where we're like, we really going to have to liquidate a lot of this debt. It's not real. It can never be repaid. Just levy with the American people, because all we're doing is we're printing money, which initially goes to the banks, and they get it first. So their purchasing power is what it was before the money was printed. The market hasn't recognized it yet. And by the time it gets to us, the inflation is already built in, is already baked into it.
Oh, the whole thing's a scam, and it was built specifically to be a scam. No, this is exactly I talk about this.
But we're going to end up with a communist led revolution, we're going to end up in some type of Marxist outcome based off of the simple fact that this cannot go on. People do not have anything to fall back on. They have nothing to look forward to. And at the end of the day, the communists are going to do what they say they're going to do. And we had a shot with the Republicans, and they squandered it. They literally squandered it.
They shut down and ignored and boxed out the economic populism that would have been a countermeasure to the promises and utopian vision of the socialists. You're exactly right. And this has been a sticking point of mine for the entire time I've been here, because it's been the same thing the entire time I've been here. It's been the same process. You've got socialists making grand promises to take the billionaires' money and give it to you. And if that's the only promise being made, that's what people are going to go for. The point that I think needs to be made is that the reason that – because you said late-stage capitalism. Now, that is a communist dog whistle, right? And I'm not claiming that you're a communist, making a dog whistle. But the idea is that capitalism is a cancer that kills you. And late stage cancer is when you're dying of cancer. Late stage capitalism, they're saying capitalism is what's killing America. My argument is what's killing America is the crony capitalism, the monopolization, the amalgamation of just all of these big corporations into mega corporations. Like, this is an abuse and exploitation and a perversion of capitalism. But at the end of the day, the communism versus capitalism economic policy, I think, is another false dichotomy. Not exactly false, but the point is, when we were in the Cold War against communism, we didn't write "in capitalism we trust" on the money. We didn't change our national motto to be "in the dollar we trust." We changed it to "in God we trust," because the real conflict is between atheistic, inhuman, exploitative communism and freedom, liberty, God, Christianity, religion. Like, that's the actual dichotomy. Capitalism is a naturally occurring consequence of freedom. When you are free, you purchase things. You buy what you want. You make deals with other people. You both feel like you benefit. With nobody else there to control you, people just do that naturally. Capitalism is a natural outgrowth of freedom. However, it can be distorted. And the goal is not like, I am a capitalist. I believe in capitalism, it's not a religion. I'm not like a, it's not capitalism. I'm trying to find capitalism and Christianity into a single word. It's not as easy as I thought. Capitalism-manity, right? It's not my religion. It's just something that I like and I think is a good economic model. As long as it's serving freedom, as long as the capitalism and the free exchange of goods is in fact reinforcing the general freedom that it is born from. But as soon as it becomes contrary to freedom, as soon as capitalistic endeavors impose on people's freedoms, then they have to be restrained by the government. That's why we have a government, so that big groups of men can't impose themselves on other people. The government is there to make sure that doesn't happen. So, using the term late stage capitalism, I don't think is an accurate one. It's not capitalism that has brought us to this point. It's the exploitation and perversion that's been allowed to happen under the name of capitalism. And in turn, it's destroyed the freedoms that is the real thing that we want, that is opposed and diametrically opposed to communism. But I appreciate the call very much, Al Killer, and I absolutely, completely agree with you about everything that you said, pretty much. Thank you for the call. Let's go to William in Missouri. He's next on the line. Go ahead, William. You're on the air.
Hello. Am I on?
You are.
All right. Number one, love the show. Number two, wasn't going to talk about Mark Levin, but I feel after the first caller, I need to talk about him. And
go for it.
I say more than a poisonous person. He's being more of a disease. It feels like us as a movement are sick, and a big problem.
He's
or
the
problem is. He's the germ, exactly.
He's spreading his infection. He's patient zero of this mind virus.
And the comments he said about, oh, I'm not even trying. You know who he wishes he was? He wishes he was Rush. But Rush, unfortunately, is dead. And that's how I discovered you guys.
Well, you know, I was going to say the last caller I remember growing up, my dad, it was Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage. I mean, they were the dudes. Mark Levin never entered into it.
And I think the world needs a healthy dose of that.
Yeah.
If we ever want to recover.
Yeah. Well, and we got to, and again, you know, Mark Levin is just, he is a poisonous force in this movement, and he's not actually a part of this movement. He has his own interests that are contrary and at odds with the interests of Americans, and he just wants to browbeat you and insult you until you stop opposing him. And that's a stupid thing to try to do to a bunch of Americans who love being opposed, who love being told what not to do, so we know what to do. It's great. It's wonderful. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the call, William. Let's go to Eddie in Texas. Running out of time. Eddie, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. My second time actually calling in. I've been listening to you since the American Journal, but yeah, I'd like to talk about the influence and the impact that us, the general public, in these days hold in the public square, you know, all thanks to X. A lot of people use X these days just for news and trends, and they kind of spread pretty fast these days. So, you know, you could be talking about one thing one day, and then the following day, it's a point of discussion. So to get to my point, my friend, let's call him Phantom, he has voiced his frustration over and over about the current direction of the country. And so I kept repeating the same thing to him. I told him, like, hey, the most effective way in my eyes to get actualized onto something is just to continue talking about it. Like, you got to go on X. You got to publicly shame these people. You got to meme them to death. You got to out-debate them, right, in their own posts. And you'll see that, like, the Overton window is just going to continually grow and expand. Like, people that weren't ever going to discuss topics, like, they'll eventually have no choice. Like, okay, you can't avoid this anymore. Like, you can bring, like, public discussion to this. So, sure enough, I was right. So, you know, cut to a few months later, like, you know, after that whole tirade of his, here we are, like, the talking points that he would continually, like, tell me over and over again, like, the censorship stuff that we're dealing with, Israel and Netanyahu not facing much of any accountability, Trump selling us out to...
It's known by everybody now. I'm sorry, we're coming to the end of the show. I really appreciate the call, and I'm sorry... Scott, Michael, and Undergotten, y'all call in tomorrow or if we want to take their numbers. I know Alex has started doing that. I think it's a good idea because I hate leaving people on hold. But thank you so much for the call, everybody. And you're exactly right. This is an information war. It's an information war. And when you're on X, you're on the battlefield. And when you're in your car listening to the radio, you're on the battlefield. And when you're talking to your friends, you're on the battlefield. And just like in real war, the day belongs to those who endure it. Right? You can't be disheartened by this. You can't be frustrated and just give up on this. Right now, we're in sort of a, what's the term? Basically, we're just trying to exhaust each other. It's just whoever stops talking first loses. So don't stop talking. Don't stop arguing. Don't stop replying to people in their comments. It makes a difference, but everybody needs to be involved. Of course, a wonderful way to be involved is to go to thealexjonesstore.com. 2-for-1 on Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free. Plus, you get a free hat. Ends today at midnight. Do not wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Make a purchase. Keep us on the air and win the info war. See you tomorrow, folks. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on infowarsstore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged infowarsstore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason because it is the final batch.
Final batch. Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.